Some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What are we talking about here? Orgy? Is it a human sacrifice of some kind?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I've studied the human mind. I've learned how to read it and ultimately control it.
Fascinating. I can't wait to read it.
It's $14.99 on my website.
Okay.
Plus shipping and handling.
Even if I buy it here?
It ships from somewhere else, didn't it? And I've been handling it.
Paul Perillo.
Very attractive man. Can fit a whole octopus in his mouth. Sort of an animal magnetism about him.
And Andy. And Andy?
Do you have any idea what it's like, Tim, to be up to your elbow in a zebra's vagina?
Andy Hart.
What does it make you think of?
I guess it kind of makes me think of your penis.
Then you get it.
Eric Scalavino.
You know, that is so like you. You call a guy a douche and you get your first museum show out of it.
For now, anyway.
It smells like cabbage on this floor.
That's the smell of dead dreams.
I go to the clubs at night and people are like, hey, who's wearing the coleslaw? Do you know how hard it is to get laid when you smell like coleslaw?
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh my God. It's code. You should watch Law and Order. Horses, heroin, grass, marijuana. The horse likes to run around on the grass. The heroin likes to run around on the marijuana. Wine, alcohol, like beer or wine. Oh man, they are planning one hell of a party.
Over two millennia ago, Julius Caesar was
stabbed
in the back. And on this Ides of March 2011, I, Eric Scalavino, have overthrown Fred Kirsch to take over the hosting chair of PFW in Progress.
And you're back to being a wolf pack of one.
That's the lamest open ever. On
wow.
What but can you tried do? Hard for it.
Paul Perillo joining me here, Andy Josh, Hart, Kevin Collins behind the glass for another very special off-season edition of PFW in Progress. It's March 15th, and so what's going on, guys, since our last show? Anything happen? That's very Fred-like right there.
Pro Football Weekly moved Robert Quinn up to 12 in their latest
Oh, yeah,
draft.
I saw that. Yeah.
Admitting their error in their ways, their idiocy of his first spot being in the second round.
Yeah,
idiocy.
That becomes, and I know that you were tongue-in-cheek mostly on that, taking a little stab at the fake PFW, and I'm
Nolan,
with you. I'm
Nolan
with you
100%. Naraki, by name.
But doesn't it sort of call into question that, because you made a point when it originally came out, they either know something.
Or they know nothing.
Or they know nothing.
It we now know they know nothing.
It tells you they know nothing.
Thank you.
And I think that it was a legitimate point.
That publication
everybody
died
had
when,
him,
when the good guy died.
Everybody had him.
Good guy.
Joel Buschbaum.
Joel Buschbaum. Oh. That,
everybody
the credibility of that publication is built on a dead man's grave. That's what it is. And they're just riding that because he was respected.
He's worked up. We're not even 2 minutes into the show.
Unprecedented.
Am I wrong? Is the credibility of that publication not built upon a
I
dead man's grave?
I do believe it has gone downhill significantly since Buschbaum has passed. But
proceed.
I also think that it's still considered one of the
considered.
Better, one of the better publications.
And they had a guy who could be a top 10, top 5, number 1 overall pick in the second round.
Maybe the fact that they do have some credibility.
I'll be eating my words on draft day when he goes in the second round.
That they do have some credibility left is that they're often confused with the real PFW. Could that
true.
Be?
Could be.
It's true.
Perhaps?
Could be, could
maybe.
Be.
All right, so yeah, there's obviously we're going to talk about the draft during the show, but we're
a lot.
We
yes.
got a lot of things to talk about.
But a lot of things to talk about.
We got a lot. Lockout in effect.
Since our last show, yes, the league and its players could not come to an agreement by the latest deadline. The players preemptively
decertified.
D. Smith.
Under D. Smith.
Right. setting the stage for their lawsuit, their antitrust suit against the league, which has been filed in a Minneapolis, Minnesota district
going to be seen
US
by a woman.
Court.
Will
yeah.
not be seen
Who
by
saw that
David
one coming?
Doty. Will not
no.
be seen by David Doty.
Be Judge Susan Nelson. Middle name is Richard.
So, what?
Her middle name is Richard. I'm guessing it's a family last name. But Susan Richard Nelson.
Sue Dick Nelson.
According to
That's why they hate you.
A judge named Sue. How about that? Isn't that appropriate?
Yes.
So anyway, yeah, Judge David Doty, who had presided over...
So the NFLPA should hire Paul, because he has a pretty successful track record fighting and
fighting women.
That's
is that what you're going to try to
true.
Do? Is that how you're going to try to play this?
That's true.
Is that how you're going to try to play this?
Her name is Richard, really.
So an April 6th hearing has been scheduled in front of Judge Nelson to hear...
I'll call her Dick.
You will you? To hear this player.
And he's going to try to put this on me.
Yeah, exactly. But in the interim, the NFL has also filed a claim with the National Labor Relations Board.
NLRB.
Right. To assert that the union, the former union, I guess now we have to call it, has been planning for the last 2 years to decertify, to get to this point, to ultimately to take it to court. So their contention is that the decertification was, quote, a sham.
I like that word.
And a lot of people have been using that. Are they going to come into court with
a
little loud guy, a little microphone?
The sham, if you ask me.
The sham was made in Germany, so you know it's good.
On both sides.
So if that hearing or if that ruling comes before the April 6th one, that could nullify the decertification, which would then nullify any court proceedings. So there's
And they would just lock them out.
And absolutely nothing would be solved.
Right. So it's still in the hands, ultimately going to be in the hands of...
because the players contend, to play devil's advocate to Eric's point, the players contend that it's been the owner's contention all along to have a lockout. They've been preparing for this for 2 years.
Right.
And that's
why they got their $4 billion in TV money.
A belief that gained credibility thanks to Judge Doty's ruling on
the
TV
contracts. When they lost their war chest.
Right.
So, and now the Wall Street Journal reported this week that the owners have the money. They've saved enough money, all the owners as a collective group, to make it through a full season lockout. That was what was reported.
Which I would
the Wall
be
Street
finding
Journal.
It awfully hard to believe if that weren't the case. I mean, I don't see how these.
They don't live paycheck to paycheck?
Yeah.
Mortgage payment to mortgage payment?
If one side or the other is going to be impacted to the point of danger by missing a season, you would have to say it's the players.
Right. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if the league has to help some owners out, maybe. You know, Ralph Wilson or...
Even a Jerry Jones with an enormous mortgage on his new house.
Yeah, but I bet you know. He can make some money.
I'm sure
I mean,
he
can go like this and have Manny Pacquiao fight again and make some money. I don't think Weaver can do that at that dump of a stadium that had a Super Bowl.
Now, there is a third option.
Weaver?
The Gator Bowl's not going to get it done for him?
Wayne Weaver. Yeah. There is a third option here.
Third option,
very remote as it is, the third option is that either side can convince the other that it's in everyone's best interest to get back to the bargaining table and talk this thing out and have a resolution without the judges and the lawyers getting involved.
Yeah, I don't think
that's a possibility. I don't think it's going to happen either, but we have to at least put that out there for discussion. That is a possibility. It, like I said, remote as it is, that is still at least the smallest glimmer of hope that, you know, a lot can happen between now and April 6th. What is that? Another 2.5 weeks, three weeks?
Now, Adam Schefter reported yesterday that there won't be any negotiations going on at all between now and then. So, I mean, I don't know. He certainly, as you said, Eric, this things can change and there's possibilities, however remote, for anything happening. We will say that the owners were pretty strong over the weekend coming out against the players, and the players responded pretty strongly, back. Where's the truth? Probably somewhere in the middle, as they usually are with these kinds of negotiations. But right now, the only thing that really matters to us and to, I would think, our listeners is football, as we know it, is on hold. It remains on hold, and the league year has yet to start. That means no free agency. That means no trades. The only thing that we'll definitively have, is the draft at the end of April.
And we can and will talk about at length during this show and in shows to come, leading up to the end of April 28th, 29th, and 30th, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, for the entire NFL draft. We'll be on the air for that as well, I'm sure. We haven't really discussed that yet amongst ourselves, but as we have in years past, we'll be, I'm sure, doing that. So all that's on the table. We can take any calls and emails you want at webradio@patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. You can call us to talk about the lockout, the draft. March Madness is upon us, and I'm not talking about the labor situation. I'm talking about the actual NCAA men's basketball tournament. Games start today.
Preliminary round games tonight.
Play-in games, I'd like to call them, Paul.
Preliminary round. That's what it is. When not everybody has to play
in
it, it's
But when they play
round.
On Thursday, that's round one to me.
Correct.
Not the second round.
Even Andy was upset at
that. Well, I was confused at first. I thought ESPN was projecting second-round matchups before the first-round game's been played.
Yeah, the NCAA calls it the first four, and they're referred to as the first-round games, but they're not first-round games. They're play-ins or preliminary rounds.
Stupid. As we discussed on the way down, just as stupid as FCS and FBS and all this crap.
Right.
It is what it is.
Enhanced season. Instead of expanding,
I was sticking on ripping the NCAA, Paul.
I rip hypocrisy in all its forms.
I know you weigh a lot, but we can still tread lightly. Fat boy.
The other thing that obviously is inescapable if you're watching the news, and doesn't matter if you're
Gilbert Gottfried,
sports fan or not, or Gilbert Gottfried, yeah, he's another one, is the crisis that's ongoing in Japan. And I honestly, one of the first things I thought of coming in today, knowing that we were going to have the show today, was that at least one of our listeners is from Japan, Jason and Chiba, who's actually been in the studio. He's come and visit us.
Yep.
And I was kind of wondering what his situation was, and logged in this morning to the web radio inbox, and there was right there an email from Jason with the somewhat unfortunate, though somewhat humorous for his sake, title, "What's Shaking?" in the subject line, and the answer obviously is the tectonic plate that he's sitting
on. Typing on.
Yeah. But he says, "Hi from Japan. And now here's where he wallows in a little bit of self-pity for himself. Just because I know no one cares and no one could possibly be interested, but we are, Jason, I write to update you that I and my family, friends, etc. are well." That's
good.
Very good to hear. "Worried about becoming flesh-eating radiation zombies, but well. I suppose we wouldn't be well if we weren't worrying. Anyway..."
What's the big deal, a nuclear, you know...
Just get upwind, not downwind.
Yeah.
Stick your finger in the air. See which way the wind's blowing.
The USS Reagan, by the way, was downwind, and they had to scrub themselves clean, and I think they're now moving and positioning...
Yeah, that would be wise.
...to go upwind. Anyway, Jason continues, "I have a hypothetical for you, an idea that I was hoping for your opinion on. Fantasy sports could be seen, in a way, as a testing ground for ideas on how to conduct sports leagues, having many of the same qualities and rules that sports leagues do, just with less direct access to the games and players. Among those who know fantasy sports, spend the most time on them, and care about them more than others," read, "sorry, good for nothing except sports trivia dorks, "rather than the snake draft, the auction draft is touted as the most fun, most fair, most interesting, and involving the most skill. Do you think a similar thing could work in the NFL? Like this. Teams have a budget and bid from that budget on players. The players must go to whomever wins the bidding. The players who want to argue that they have the most talent are being bid on, so whatever their contract ends up at is what they're actually worth on the market. It eliminates the messy second step of actually signing a player after he's been drafted and a team basically owns his first few years of NFL service, and makes it easy to set a budget and thus keep rookies' salaries under control."
I like it. I think it'd be fun.
I think it'd be fun for the Patriots. I think it'd be fun for the Cowboys. I think it'd be fun for the Redskins. The more money,
because they have money to bid.
Yeah.
No, you have a budget. You start with $100 or whatever the budget is. Each team has it. It's capped. You have $40 million to spend in this draft.
No interest in it at all. What's the intrigue?
How much are you going to spend on your first pick? Are you going to, you know, is Bill Belichick going to go get one guy or the five guys?
No,
you know, Mike Ditka
would
say $40 million, Robert Quinn going golfing.
Yeah, right. And no. Jason actually
no
continues with Bill Belichick.
Like,
he says, "I get the conversation. I get the conversion would be hard argument. The Pats have X number of picks extra, all of them with the decided value from which Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, just for clarification's sake, pays close attention to getting an advantage. In the first year of a system like this, teams with the extra picks would obviously have to be compensated somehow, with extra money in their rookie budget, for example. The biggest potential drawback, as I see it, would be that a valuable piece of NFL currency would be lost, but it seems like dollars from the rookie budget, or however we end up saying it, could be traded just as easily and with more freedom to control how much is being traded. You want a third for Moss, but I only want to give up a fourth. I can give you money from my budget for yours, equivalent to a third and a half, if you will."
I don't care for that. Now we get into the NBA. I don't care for that. I think the rule, you'd have to have a certain number of players. You have to leave the draft with X number of players. So if that's, you know, one guy at $39 million and five guys at the veteran minimum, you still have to leave the draft with seven players, so that you are still guaranteeing a selection of 250 players or whatever entering the league under contract.
Are there rules for the players? Do they have Do they have a say?
No.
Do the players have a say?
No. Just like now. I mean, be the same thing. You're entering this draft. It's just the draft is done via bids rather than via...
Rather than the, just the right. selection.
So what if all the bids are the same?
What do you
for
mean?
For the best pick.
There would...
Well, then
I mean,
there
would
have to be some way... Then there have to be a second round of bidding or...
Yeah.
Some way to break the tie.
The finalists would bid again. Are you willing to go higher or not higher?
It's like any auction. Yeah, if there's a tie, somebody has to...
I think it would be hard for the bad teams to succeed in that situation.
Why?
Because I don't think that it would be... I think...
Well, it would force them to spend more than they currently do.
No, I don't think it would.
Why would it do that?
The only thing
is... If everybody's dealing with the same amount of money, that's the same as it is now. You have a rookie cap based on the amount of picks.
But they all have a budget.
Right, but it might force them to be more aggressive early on to try to get the higher pick.
Well, yeah, what it does, it allows you to target a player and decide virtually at all costs, I'm going to get that player. And you can do it unilaterally. You don't have to get anyone else to agree to a trade. You can do it on your own. I'm going to take my huge chunk of my budget and go get that guy.
All right, so let's say if that were in play this year and the Patriots really wanted Robert Quinn...
Right,
and wanted to take him number one because they, you know, weren't assured that anyone else wasn't going to take him mm-hmm. by the time they got up there, and they went all in and bid at the highest amount they could possibly bid.
Mm-hmm.
Would they still have to leave some left over for those other six?
I think that would have to exist to be a fair, because otherwise, I mean, you could end up with only 40 people being drafted or something. I think to keep the system somewhat structured, you'd have to say you need to field a minimum draft roster of X players. So you need to, if they're all at the minimum bid later, you bid late on so-and-so.
So you would get your number one guy, but then it might be the
you
end
might
of the
get
seventh
a bunch
round
of seventh
before
round pick,
you end up picking again.
Right.
Which is,
I wouldn't mind it. I'd
which is often the case in fantasy draft.
I actually think it allows teams the chance to target a player. Because if you're the seventh pick
in
the draft,
that's what I don't like about it.
You're not guaranteed a player that you think can change your history. You may be stuck with the seventh best player in a year where there's three good players. You can now in this system, you can target it and say, this guy is a franchise player, Sam Bradford. If I get him, I'm going to be good in 3 years. I'm going to get him. I'm willing to go all in. Who I
and
feel bad for is a guy that don't get bids.
Like,
but that's exactly.
Well, a bid on me.
That's exactly what I think would happen.
What?
Teams would identify players and go all in on them, and then
right. But it's still a process because you have to say. Now I'm not getting anyone else. Now I'm getting a bunch of undrafted free agents.
Right.
Am I really willing to put all my, you know, how high do I go?
I think a better team would be more willing to do that.
It's possible.
That's why I don't like it.
It's possible. I don't mind it.
I think it would be interesting. I lost
interest in the middle of it.
The novelty of
it, I think it's
at least in the first year, would be interesting just to see how teams handle it.
Right, and maybe it's something where it's only the 10 worst teams do it, and then you have a normal draft. It's only for the top 10 picks. I mean, I think there's ways to do it. I don't think they'll ever change it. They're going to continue to do what they've
always
done.
I don't know what's wrong with the system. Other than the compensation, which they are sort of addressing.
Right. Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. I think he's going more with the Roger Goodell. This would be more entertaining on TV. This would be entertaining.
This would certainly
the bidding process and you know, the uncertainty of
not like the NFL needs to make the draft more entertaining to get viewers, but it certainly would add to the
There's a lot of things they don't need to do that they seem intent on doing.
That's certainly true. So Jason and Sheba, thank you for the email and good to hear that you're doing well.
I got a lockout topic I want to address.
Everybody that you know is doing well.
What do you got?
It's already annoyed me. People don't understand the difference between lockout the noun and lockout the verb. They're not the same. One is two words. To lock someone out is the verb.
Right.
A lockout is a noun, and it's one word.
Condition that we're in
right
now.
I've seen it misused probably 10 times already.
Misused as far as one
print
and two words?
Yeah. They're not the same. I believe Fred may have misused it already.
Well, that's good. Did we catch it?
I believe so.
In his edit letter?
I believe so.
Okay.
It's already annoyed me, though. Pro Bowler, all pro. Lockout. No, not the same.
It's a lot of those things that are...
Yes.
Annoying.
James, our most interesting fan in the world, says he's rescinding lunch after that opening.
He should.
I hope
well,
he's kidding.
Well, just for America,
I hope
right?
he's kidding.
No, I didn't do anything.
It's on its way, isn't it?
I rescinded my participation in this show.
Kevin?
Yeah, okay. You just called it in.
Yeah, we'll be here for a while.
We might get it by the end of the show.
Wow. He's blank on a bull.
So we've
a lot
been
of meetings.
We've started watching.
A lot of head rubbing.
We've finally gotten some draft prospect video.
Sure.
That we can watch. We had our first podcast last week. If you haven't downloaded it, download it. Well, don't download it now because we're on the air. But download it at some point. But we're finally getting to see these players on the field that we've talked to and been able to analyze just by reading about them. So it's been good to get that process started finally. This week we're going to be, what are we doing? Secondaries this week.
Defensive backs, yes.
Right, defensive backs, cornerbacks, safeties. Have you guys gotten through that yet?
No, I haven't. I'm having issues with my computer. I've watched quarterbacks. I can't play any of the discs.
What happened?
I don't know. They won't play. The only ones I was able to watch were the ones that Chris downloaded for us and loaded right onto the site, into the network.
Well, that's not good.
No, I'll get it straightened out.
IT, get to it. NCAA tournament.
Been keeping up on the mock draft.
It?
Been keeping up.
Oh,
on
I
the,
got a mock draft right in front of me. You might have heard of it. Pro Football Weekly 2.0. Robert Quinn.
They
now he's in the 12th spot, not
right.
the second round.
Right.
You know, some of us had him in the first round and near the top of the first round all along. They didn't. I'll read their reasoning if you'd like.
Yes, please.
I'll flip the page too to find it. Then we'll go through it pick by pick.
Okay.
No, not pick by pick.
No, but
just
Patriots
some,
picks.
Just
and
some interesting ones.
Picks.
Oh, I should have brought the Arlads one, speaking of interesting ones. Minnesota Vikings, number 12 pick, Robert Quinn. Despite not playing football for a season, having a benign brain tumor, and carrying a reputation as a soft run defender, Quinn's pass rush prowess and overall upside is still too great for teams in search of pass rushers to pass him by. After showing up in tip-top shape at the Combine and working out very well, he gained momentum in the scouting community and could be an attractive option to a team that's expected to lose Ray. No, he gained momentum? Ray Edwards, but... Gain momentum, or everybody else already knew him and you didn't for some reason.
So that's exactly, that answers the question.
They knew nothing.
They don't think he's that good. They're only putting him up
right,
because they know,
right.
they know they're wrong
he's
gonna and he's going to go that high.
I'd have more respect for them if they said, he's not that good. Talk to us in 3 years when he sucks, when he's Vernon Golston, right. and that's why
and
we haven't
say,
rated as a second round pick.
Just say, listen, if this is a mock draft and this is where we think he's going to go, we think it's a gross oversell, oversell of the guy.
But Nolan Naraki doesn't have the cojones to do that
yeah, I,
or
I,
come on this show.
Yeah, I
he certainly doesn't have that.
I definitely disagree with that that terminology.
Dink, dunk,
because if you
dunk.
If you watch if you look at those mock drafts, usually you could tell they might have three or four positives, and then they say which overshadows his inability to play the run or something like that. He leads with three things that are black marks against the guy.
Right,
red flags right off the go. He clearly doesn't think he's that good.
Clearly, the guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Let's look at his other draft.
All right.
Marcel Darius, going number one overall to Carolina, the defensive tackle out of Alabama, his daddy. Daquan Bowers going to the Broncos. Clearly everyone targeting them for defensive upgrade because we've seen other mocks where Quinn went there and different things. Three, the courageous Aggie, Von Miller.
Von Miller, yeah.
Going to the
courageous
Buffalo
Aggie.
Bills.
That's how he was described.
And one courageous Aggie. Yes.
Von Miller and Sean Merriman. A little bit of pass rush that Tom Brady and his patchwork offensive line might have to deal with in the future if this mock draft were right. A.J. Green to the Bengals, which
Ooh.
Could have Patriots ramifications if
right.
that Ocho Cinco out the door. Maybe
Ocho
he could
Johnson.
Slide on a banana peel, as No Sox would say, into New England. Pepe and Bill, epic, was the tweet, I believe.
I think it was a hashtag.
Yeah, epic, there were some hashes right? in there, but I don't know really how to say that verbally. Yet.
Pound sign, hashtag, whatever.
No. Not pound sign.
Yeah, that's totally different. It's ridiculous. Five, our first quarterback to the Cardinals, Blaine
Gabbert.
Gabbert.
Gift of Gabbert.
Which I would agree, if I were forced to take a quarterback in this draft, he would be the guy I would take. I wouldn't feel great about
I'd
it.
I'd be uncomfortable having a guy named Blaine as my quarterback.
With long hair,
with the feathered blonde hair.
And it gets those rosy cheeks very easily. Like up by the real pale skin, rosy
think he
cheeks.
Gets flustered? Is that what you mean?
He could be. I saw him fumble and bumble the ball around in some of the defensive tapes I was watching.
Yeah.
Julio Jones, another receiver. Two receivers in the top six.
Down by the schoolyard?
Going to the Cleveland Browns to help out, what's his name, Colt.
Come on now.
Patrick Peterson, who's an interesting one because some people believe he's the most talented prospect in the draft. Cornerback, maybe safety. Going to the San Francisco 49ers at seven. Arlads, which is Fred Kirsch's go-to pre-draft publication, has him number one overall, which hasn't happened in some 40 years.
Patrick Peterson?
Yeah.
Peterson.
So I would be stunned if he went number one.
There really is, there's no consensus for the number one pick.
There's no consensus on
way every year, most years there's a general consensus who the number one and two picks are going to be.
Or at least consensus on players. There's no consensus on players.
No.
What's that you have open right there?
This is another mock by NFL.com's Pat Kerwin, which I brought to Andy's attention yesterday because Patrick I knew he would get mad about it. Patrick Peterson goes one in this one, too.
Marcel Darius need a logo goes on two. His chest.
Daquan Bowers. So the names are basically in that same general area. Cam Newton's the first quarterback that goes in his draft to Cincinnati at number four. That's an interesting one. Blaine Gabbert goes next to Arizona. But the part that I thought was very interesting was that at 17, when New England picks first, they take Anthony Costanzo. Tackle from Boston College.
Sure.
Okay, fine pick. Until you see that Robert Quinn is still available. And he goes with the very next pick to San Diego. Andy would not be happy about that. I wouldn't be happy about that either.
Andy's rarely happy, so.
No, but he'd be even more unhappy than usual. And I'd be with him, though.
Gabe Kiremi wouldn't be happy either, too, because he goes 19.
Right. Yeah. He's the best tackle in the draft.
Consensus best tackle in the draft.
And some teams, a lot of teams have agreed with him.
A consensus of one.
Yeah.
I would understand it if they choose not to trade up to get
Robert
Quinn.
Trade.
But if he's on the board and they pass over him, I will not be happy.
I won't be happy either.
Plus, at that cost, a 17th pick in the draft.
That's
jag money.
That's steal. That's more than value. That's steal.
Because everybody agrees the guy's got some upside.
Of course.
Even Pro Football Weekly, who doesn't clearly like him, agrees he has some pass rush upside. And that's what we're looking for around here, is pass rush upside.
Our friend Stripper sent us an email yesterday about was it Paul Burmeister?
Yeah,
analysis of Quinn saying he's got all this upside, but he didn't play last year, and he doesn't have all this. He's got enough tape,
and I have more pre-draft credibility than Paul Burmeister.
You do, he's a host.
I'll take my trip. Right, kind of a dink.
Rob Gronkowski had essentially the same amount of tape last year.
Happens all the time. Sam Bradford.
I am not concerned.
Scott Pioli poo-pooed the lack of tape at the combine.
I'm not concerned.
Very well asked question
that he didn't play.
Forgot who asked that question. Oh, that's right.
I don't really understand that though. I don't get why if it's an injury and he can't, if the tumor is the reason why you're reluctant, that I get. I don't know enough about his medical, whatever, but they obviously do.
No.
But like Gronkowski, if you thought the back injury was the reason why you weren't sold on him, okay, he's not going to come back from the back injury. But not because he didn't play last year. You saw him play enough. You have tape on him.
Well, the one thing I lend credibility to that is a lot of times in college football, sophomore breakout years are followed by lesser junior years because other teams focus on it.
Happens a lot.
My guy out of George Selvey was a case of produced really early
South
in his career,
yep.
Then got double teamed all the time, and his production really fell off. Now, you have to make an assessment as an NFL guy. Is he going to be double-teamed all the time in my league? How is he going to in what role am I going to use him? Blah, blah, blah. But Quinn never had that opportunity. His breakout sophomore year was followed by nothing. So you never had the chance to see him be the focal point of an offense's game plan and their blocking schemes and protections and how he would react to that. That's the only. But I still agree with you. You see his pass rush moves. You see the way he plays the game, and you can kind of envision the value. Even if he does, I mean, everybody struggles
with
double teams.
He's certainly not going to be the target of defenses when he comes to the league.
Right.
Now, and maybe eventually he'll be
right.
That.
Could be. Yeah.
And you know what? There's a lot of guys in this league now that make a lot of money that when they're double teamed, don't. They get taken out of games. But you know what? There's a value to that. There's a value in how the rest of the team performs. So I don't see that as this major negative.
I agree.
If, as Mike Mayock says, he's as good a natural pass rusher as he's ever seen, okay, well, sometimes he'll get stopped by a double team. You know, it's just going to happen. But sometimes he's going to get there. And the other thing is, people, like, I want to pass rush as much as anyone. You play 16 games. You play 60 snaps. You get there 10 times, and you're good. 10 times. In 16 times 60. 700, you know, 9,600, 960 snaps.
960 snaps, right.
You get there 10 times, right? And
sure.
You're good.
Mm-hmm. I don't do math.
So, I mean, it's not like a great guy gets there every single time. There's a value in the double team. There's a value in pressure.
Right.
There's a value in the other team starting its Monday by going, we got to stop Robert Quinn. We
got to
make sure he doesn't ruin our week.
It's so rare that even at that small a number, though, like you said.
Right.
That shows just how tough it is to do that.
How many offenses started their game plans this year by saying, we got to stop Tully Bantakane, Rob Ninkovich,
none.
Jermaine Cunningham,
none.
I mean,
Vince
anyone.
Wilfork.
Yeah,
maybe.
But even him, it's different.
Gerard Mayo in the running game.
It's hard to be an impact playmaker.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a passing league, and it's hard to be an impact playmaker as a nose tackle or an inside linebacker. That's why this need is so great. And I just think there's value in the fear of a guy out there as much as there is the production. Okay, let me get back. Yeah, I want to get to the Patriots picks in the PFW draft. Cameron Jordan.
I like it.
Defensive end. And I will read their little thing.
This is at 17.
This is 17.
All right.
Cameron Jordan. Right after Adrian Claiborne, right before Ryan Kerrigan for a little placement.
Context, yep.
With outstanding size, body length, and versatility, Jordan could fill a number of roles in the Patriots defense and provide Bill Belichick with a more youthful version of Richard Seymour, who was shipped off to the Raiders for this pick. I don't see him as Richard Seymour. He's more versatile.
He's not
certainly,
Richard Seymour.
But
he's not Richard Seymour.
20 to 30 pounds lighter.
Right.
Than Richard Seymour. And
the other Cameron is more of a Richard Seymour type. Hayward.
But not as good.
But not nearly as good.
And now I'll go to 28 in this fake PFW mock draft.
Yep.
By Nolan, afraid to come on the show, Naraki. Jake Locker.
Andy Hart, continuing to make friends among the media.
Nolan, as in no balls, Naraki?
Wow.
No balls, Rocky?
Eric, continuing to make friends among the media.
Jake Locker, quarterback, Washington. No.
Jake Locker is 28?
As 28, yeah.
No, Tom Brady is not going anywhere.
You know how I always say I'm rarely stunned by anything Belichick does anymore? That would absolutely
Really think the Patriots are going to pick him. He's basically picking them for another team. He says Bill Belichick is not going to tap into his bag of tricks and line up Locker in the wing tee. If Locker is still on the board at this spot, as he very well could be, likely could be, expect the Patriots to be manning the phones hard, seeking to find an interested suitor willing to give up a series of picks that could benefit the Patriots in years to come. Hmm. The only shock here is if the Patriots were to sit still and hold both of their first-round picks.
Okay, I see what he's saying.
Okay.
But I also, I'm not so sure I agree with it. You know, maybe there's value. I think there's a better chance of a similar scenario unfolding at 33. Jake Locker's on the board at 33, and they unload
and
that
And they do
pick.
That.
We talked about
and
that. 33
on day two.
The 33 pick,
first
could,
pick
be,
of day two.
Could be the most valuable pick of the draft. I mean, you have a day. We talked
Except
about
for
it,
one.
We talked about it last
where
year.
Where you could take Quinn.
Right.
And you have a whole day to sit there. That's the top pick. Everybody's going to come out. There's going to be 31 teams probably going to be
and
wonder if not inquiring with Belichick, wondering.
You have 24 hours to talk the Mike Ditka into
exactly
rolling the dice.
And that's why I think Andy Hart getting all wound up.
I got to get him. I just got to get him.
It's an exaggeration, but that's why I think it's almost even more valuable because now those players that you hoped to maybe slip, you know if they slipped or not. So if you're sitting at four in the second round. And someone that you weren't sure was going to be available after the first round is still available. Mm-hmm. What do you give up?
And you got all night to think about it.
All night to think about it and formulate a plan.
Given the labor uncertainty, will there be an alteration on the willingness of teams to trade future draft picks? Will there be any consideration there?
In other words, keep what you have now because...
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, would a team be willing to give up a one next year? There may not be a next year. If this gets as ugly as, you know, the Wall Street Journal, they have enough money to go a full year without football, the owners. Well, then there may not be a draft next
year. You know
who
doesn't have enough money to go a full year without football?
Me?
The writers of PFW.
That's a good point.
I think...
Into landscaping. What about you?
I think you might be onto something though.
That Achilles.
No, you get a riding. Those cool riding.
Achilles
lawnmowers.
Is fine. I saw you jumping around the office yesterday. Remember, you were telling us you were explaining about how.
On the Northeastern Gold.
Yes, your Achilles was doing
short,
all right.
Quick bursts.
Yeah, I think you might be onto something though, Andy. I think teams, especially teams that have very few picks with which to deal, will be more likely to just hang on to what they have.
I don't know the effect. It's kind of like the fact that free agency could come never at all or after the draft. I don't know the effect, but I got to think it'll play into some mindset.
Really? I would think so.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I think so, but I mean, last year.
In fact, it may affect teams differently. Two people may look at the same situation and have
in different ways.
Philosophy.
Yeah.
Use the same reason, but do different things.
For the exact opposite actions.
Now, like last year when we had the uncapped year, we all thought, different rules for free agency. We may see more offers given to restricted free agents. That didn't quite play out that way league-wide.
Never mind.
I know.
Paul, what do you want to say?
I want to tread lightly.
But in this case, I think there is.
And all that. Fred, and all that.
Yeah, Fred's in very important meetings. That's why he couldn't be here.
Last couple of days.
It's one of those things like pornography. You know it when you see it or hear it.
And he knows it, especially if there's junk on the screen.
No, but I think you're right.
Obviously, he didn't have a sack.
Wow. I'd be interested to see how...
Eat your muffins. They're moist.
For God's sake. Enough.
Fight Kevin.
It's like he's here.
No, because Eric's talking. Teams Eric doesn't get a chance to talk when Fred's here.
Teams like the Patriots, who like to trade down, trade out, acquire picks, I think they might be more inclined to just stay where they are this year.
It's a possibility.
See, I don't.
Or they could be more inclined to trade up, be the first to take advantage of the rookie wage scale.
I don't. I mean, I think they could trade up. I think that might be.
But the teams in the top will say, no, this is more valuable because you don't have to pay them.
No, that might be different. That might be a difference with the current situation is people might look at it and say, there's going to be a rookie wage scale. I'll be more willing to trade up than I have been.
Now,
in
would you be worried
past.
About a lawsuit?
I am not.
Because I've said if I were.
I'm not sure I'm with you guys on the dissuading teams from trading picks into next year. Bill,
have no idea.
I think Bill believes in that, and I'm not sure what the current landscape would do to dissuade you from doing that.
I have no idea. But if there's no draft next year.
But do you think anybody really honestly thinks that that's going to be the case?
I don't know. I'm just posing questions. I don't have the answers.
And if there's not going to be a draft next year, who cares about keeping your picks this year? Because there's not going to be a season this year.
Right.
I'm just posing
questions.
I don't think it
impacts anything one iota.
To follow up on Pat Kerwin's mock, we said he went with Costanzo for the Patriots at 17. At 28.
Costanzo.
He goes, where's my calzone? He goes with Muhammad Wilkerson.
He's a riser.
Temple defensive end, 6'4", 315.
I don't know a lot about that guy, but I have not seen one analyst say a bad word about him.
No, everybody loves him.
Here's what Curran says.
He hasn't reached that point yet, Paul.
35-inch arms. Wilkerson fits the Patriots' profile for a front three player. He ran a 4.99, basically a 5-flat 40 at the combine. And even though he's a bit raw coming out of Temple, there's a lot of work here. There's a lot to work with here. The Patriots select again in 5 picks at 33.
Diamond in the rough.
He's a riser, but I'd rather go with somebody.
Andy and I were talking yesterday to somebody
proven.
In the organization, and
Fred,
you forget just how decimated that defensive line got with some of the names. That they trotted out there. I don't think it's a major need.
Landon Cohen.
I'm with Andy on this.
Robbie Italia.
Eric, what was his name?
Atiyah that
was making
Ellison
all the plays.
Came in.
Eric Moore.
Atiyah Ellison. Cohen. They had just a cast of millions. A Marlin favorite between the practice squad.
And he was
my active
favorite.
Roster.
interestingly, I don't know if PFW has their early second round. Do they have the second round at all in that mock?
Probably not because they took Quinn out of it, so they don't have a second round.
Kerwin does a second round, and with the 33rd pick, the Patriots select Akeem Ayers, outside linebacker UCLA.
Oh, yes, great. Who did we take with 17 with him?
Costanzo. Tackle.
So we took a D-line.
O-line, D-line.
A versatile linebacker. We got no pass rush. Oh, good. We're back to where we started. Thanks, Pat. Standing Pat with Pat Kerwin for the Pats.
Standing Pat Kerwin?
What?
See what he did there?
Why are you giving me that look? The anger I have?
You are giving him a very Fred-like look.
If we leave the first 33 picks without a pass rusher, I won't be happy.
There's a couple of things that I wanted to address with that. Akeem Ayers, obviously you don't think he's a pass rusher.
He's not a proven...
Okay,
dynamic pass rusher. He's an outside linebacker who does it all.
But don't some people
I don't want a guy that does it all. I want a guy that gets to the passer.
You want me to explain to me why I have a quizzical look on my face or not?
Well, when we draft him, and in 3 years you're saying... No, listen. When in 3 years you're saying...
Someone's talking, you have to shut up.
He's a good player, and blah, 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 and he does this, but he doesn't really impact the pass rush. I'll say, thank you, I was right.
And the second thing is Pat Kerwin... He's doing this mock draft.
Yeah.
Did you say that he's the one that doesn't need a logo on his chest?
No.
Isn't that a different guy?
That's a different guy.
Kidding. But he also used to work in the league and now does this as a hobby like I do.
As a hobby? You get paid to do this.
Oh, I know, but it's not like a real job. Like, you've got to get this
not. Wait, maybe I should go to the comp. You guys get paid?
Yes, we do.
I wish
no more than we had before. But
I'm working incentives.
Don't you remember that whole per
diem
chat, Paul?
Next time I pick a Super Bowl winner, next time I pick a second round pick, I want bonuses for these types of.
So every 9 years you'll get a bonus?
For the Super Bowl thing.
Yeah.
But last year I was dead ringer on second round picks with Spikes and Gronkowski.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482, the ace ticket hotline.
The Merriweather pick.
Rob.
Should apologize for that.
Rob from.
I didn't want to take him. I just. That
this
was
is where
bang
I get
bang.
The Fred look. Rob from under the span of the GW. I don't know what he's doing under there. Is he a troll or something?
Jump.
Hey, guys. Love the show and have been listening since the early days. Caught only the tail end of your earlier discussion on the other PFW, in quotes. I was wondering what publications or magazines outside of Patriots Football Weekly that are on newsstands do you recommend? Lindy's, ESPN, other? Keep up the great work. Well, we have our guys that we work with, Lindy's, right, at Rob Rang and
yeah,
those guys.
Through NFL Draft Scout, Lindy's. Right. I think NFL Draft Scout does a phenomenal job in the pre-draft process. I'm not saying their mocks are better than anyone else's, but just information. If you want information, you go to NFL Draft Scout. They have the most information.
I think the mocks are the least valuable tool that's out there. Now, fans love them, and I understand why everybody does them, because they're fun.
Them.
Absolutely. But I think in terms of getting yourself prepared for a draft, it's the least valuable tool that there is.
Word.
You're much better off with NFL Draft Scout and the other websites that do this, with just the in-depth profiles of every single player and the level of detail that they have on guys' personal backgrounds and whatnot. I think that's where it's valuable to learn about the players.
And I also read ESPN the magazine because I like a lot of their quick hitter stories and little pages and charts and stuff like that.
Well, I was just talking in terms of the draft. Sports Illustrated to me still is the standard bearer.
Yeah, too many long stories.
Stuff, but not for the draft coverage.
If you want draft coverage, you come to PFW. The real PFW.
The real.
Patriots Football PFW. Weekly.
Fred in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Well, it's finally come to this, he says. I didn't want to do it, but they gave me no choice. I have locked out the NFL. And he did it properly. He used two words there.
Not us, though, right?
No, the NFL. I have disabled my Twitter and deleted all related bookmarks. This league is now dead to me until such time as I hear that they are playing games again. I can't stand the constant... Will they, won't they, posting on Twitter and websites?
What kind of boycott is that?
As long as he's listening to us.
When the games aren't being played, I'm not going to watch.
It's like Paul saying he's not going to drink another Miller Lite until somebody puts a Miller Lite in front of him.
It's exactly the same.
Out of loyalty, I am leaving you guys as my only remaining football entity. Now, that's a smart fan right there. Nobody knows what's going on except the people involved, and until I see white smoke, there's no new pope. When I see Goodell and Smith with pens in hand signing an agreement, nothing anyone thinks matters. So, guys...
What do you think?
I hope you're not affected badly by this and that you are allowed to keep plugging ahead and providing us meaningful Patriots news that will be useful at some point down the road. As they say up here, keep your sticks on the ice. Well, that could get kind of chilly, wouldn't it?
I'd have to lay on my stomach because not a fan of it.
Drilling for oil.
That's the other Fred.
Reaching for the stars.
The other Fred in Halifax, Nova Scotia.
So would he prefer we just talk about our other types of... topics that we dabble in, you know, Brooklyn Decker's breasts or something, to avoid any contact with the NFL for his boycott purposes?
Well, no, I mean, I think he's relying on us for all that information.
Okay,
I
wait
think
till
he's just,
April 6th, we'll have an update.
He's making a symbolic gesture to tune out all the other noise and to just keep this noise as his only noise.
It's good noise.
Right. It's fairly good noise. Sam in Chicago.
What's up, girl?
Hi, boy. Thanks for the show. Jumping What's ahead, up? You mentioned Brandon Merriweather earlier. That is one story that has sort of quickly fallen off the map in the last few days.
That's true.
His troubles down in Florida, they haven't gone away, but the story itself hasn't really been top of mind for most people.
Funny how that works with the media around here.
Hey, girl.
Yeah. Sam says, jumping ahead, when the Patriots cut Brandon Merriweather, would you want free agency to fill that gap or draft someone? I guess... The new blog entry will shed some light on your opinion. Did you blog about that?
I didn't.
I didn't know what Sam was talking about there. And what's up with the blog entries anyway, or should I say lack thereof?
I don't know.
Surely
if you know we're in a lockout, there's nothing going on.
You can think of something to keep us fans in the loop. Thanks for pinch hitting, Eric. So to his or her first question about filling any gap if Merriweather leaves, draft, free agency, preferences?
I would say draft.
I would too. I think it's a pretty deep spot. I don't think it'd be urgent even if they lost.
No, it's not, and that's why I said draft, because I'll develop a guy so that when Jimmy moves on or one of the, you know, they have these veterans that could leave at any time.
I think they like who they have at safety. You know, aside from Merriweather, they
And they may like him, for all we know.
Well, they may. They certainly like...
Sure, they like him more than we do.
Josh Barrett, the guy they picked up who was injured last year from the Denver Broncos, kept him all year on IR. They've re-signed him earlier this offseason. What's the other...
Jarrad Page.
Jarrad Page, thank you. Have an offer out to him. He has the tender, right?
Yeah, he's been tendered.
Right, so... They obviously like those two guys enough to want
continue
to bring
to
them
work
back
with them, as he says.
Yeah,
he being Bill.
So you might not, even if they do decide to part ways with Merriweather, I don't know if you'll necessarily see them make a move.
Chung, Jimmy.
Either way, they might feel like they're okay. Maybe later in the draft or somewhere if there's somebody.
Oh, there's a good chance they'll take a safety, but
and there's always guys that you can pick up, just like they picked up McGowan and just like they picked up Page last year. There's probably a guy like
safety
that.
Safety position seems to be one of those.
Yeah, there's always a guy out there that can play.
A special teamer
available.
Who's ready to play, a corner who's getting old and maybe ready to play safety.
Now,
there's a variety of different types.
I don't want to completely dismiss it because Brandon Merriweather, for all of the criticism that he gets on this show, especially when Fred's not here, did play a lot of football last year for them. So they need to replace somebody who played a lot.
He did play.
No, I'm saying
he took snaps.
Out of the safeties, he took the most
snaps. He took a lot of snaps.
Now, that was because of extenuating circumstances.
He was the only one who wasn't hurt.
If you ask me, he stayed healthy. And that is a point in his favor. You know, the fact that he's been able to play in the games over the course of his career, I don't think he's missed many
games.
Never
missed a game, I believe.
So that's impressive. And that's part of what... You know, his strengths are, is his ability to stay
ironic.
On the field and be durable.
He's missed plenty of players during games, but never missed a game.
Missed plenty of plays, but not
misses on and off the field.
Yeah. Well.
This one was
now.
A hit.
Hold on now.
Deflection.
Hold on now.
The magic bullet.
Terrence sent from his Verizon Wireless BlackBerry seconds Fred from Halifax's boycott.
Of everyone but
us. Everyone but PFW in progress.
Wow. Thanks, Fred.
So
we're bigger than the league right now.
I'm going to join Fred. I'm going to boycott everything until there's another
okay.
game.
So you're going to get all your news from us?
No, you guys don't have any news.
I have plenty of news.
You kidding me?
He gets so mad.
What do you want to know?
He gets so mad.
I get an answer for anything.
Might not be the right answer, but he's got one.
I don't want an
answer
for him.
Are you pretending that I get the right answer from ESPN or these tweets or these reports? They're always wrong.
No.
Hells no.
Hells no.
So I can just throw an answer out there like they can.
Mike in San Diego writes in with an interesting query in his subject line. Is Belichick looking at replacement players? Hey, guys, with all the craziness of the lockout and the NFLPA decertification, do you think that Belichick and company are looking at JAG players to play in place of regular NFL starters in the event that a new CBA is not ratified by September?
No.
It's also, a lockout,
that
not
can't,
a,
that can't
you know,
happen.
A strike brings scab players.
Right.
A lockout does not.
A lockout, no business can
but
be
no,
transacted.
But no, anyway, at this stage, no.
Right. No players from the CFL, the Arena League, the UFL, no players, no free agents, no signings,
NFL
no business whatsoever can
have
be
players
done during
that are
a
willing
lockout.
To play.
Right.
They're called Tom Brady. They're being locked out. This is different than a strike.
The owners would
difference.
Be prohibited from putting games on with
right.
replacement players when the players that are the regular players are more than willing to play.
Right.
You won't let them play.
But the fact remains there can be no football related business transacted during the lockout. So that that would preclude
which is one word.
That would preclude them from doing that. he finishes up. Also, whose side do you guys feel that the, quote, court of public opinion stands with right now, the players or the owners? Thanks, guys. That's Mike in San Diego. I mean, just basing it off of our Debate Friday poll from a few weeks ago, it's pretty much a dead heat between owners, players, and neither.
Right.
They each all got roughly a third of the vote.
Yeah,
and
it fluctuates.
Very surprised to see lately some decided edges to the owners. Have you seen that? They were talking about it on the radio.
The chippiness
yesterday.
Of their comments, you mean, or oh, you mean the edge?
No,
in the
who
polls.
Do you side with in the polls? It's like 38% to 24% owners to players. Now the rest was neither.
Right.
But to me, you divide up the neither equally. You know, you can't just give it all to one side and say, oh, it's even. I would have thought that. I mean, I think that a lot of times that people, whenever there's a labor problem in sports, people automatically assume the players are looking for more and they place blame on the players. I think that is the quote of public opinion fallback.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that that's wrong, because I think oftentimes, more often than not, that is the case. I don't think it's the case in this particular instance, however. I think there's some plenty of blame to go around on all sides.
Back to the draft-related talk for a second. Kevin, get the soundbite ready. Eleanor,
get the food ready.
Eleanor writes in. You know what Eleanor's famous for.
Screw you, bitch.
You told a woman?
Yeah, when Eleanor took a shot at me, and I told her.
Screw you, bitch.
And a classy woman like Eleanor.
Yeah, but she took an unnecessary, unwarranted shot at me.
Screw you, bitch.
Why is your mouth wide open?
Because I can't say what I'm going to say, but I wonder if that's why. You know what I'm talking about. I don't want to get into it.
What?
The criticism that we recently got, that we just recently found out about.
What
someone
criticism?
Was complaining. I'm not going to say it. So
Stop trying
to get me to say it.
I know what you're talking about. And no, it's not that. I don't think it was
because
that.
I know no one else has said anything remotely like that.
No, no,
and I know that you were tongue-in-cheek about it.
Of course.
I'm not blaming you. But
of course.
Perhaps someone heard that.
Can I hear that again?
Misinterpreted
it doesn't sound tongue-in-cheek.
No, it was.
Very real.
Wait for it.
Screw you, bitch.
It was. She knows that it was taken in jest.
Screw you, bitch.
Anyway, she writes in, you guys.
She knows that it was taken in jest.
She does.
How does she know that? Because you told her?
Because if you let me read her email, she'll explain.
So it's not her.
You guys.
Paul, what was it? What were you talking about?
Oh, my God.
No, I don't think she did anything. I think someone may have heard that.
And misconstrued
that
it.
We were being a little bit critical of people.
Yes. No, but I think.
What kind of people?
All right.
I told you, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to get into
it. Shut up.
Let me get to Eleanor's email here.
I'm not even going to give it credence. It was so ridiculous.
She says, you guys, Eleanor here, I'm very proud that Eric's insult of me has now become a drop. It was doubly amusing to listen to Scalavino's complaining about not getting into Brown last week, since I am
a proud
graduate of Brown University.
Oh, with a name like Eleanor, you know she went to a...
That's
open, Kevin. If her insults continue, if we wanted a bald guy who can't paint, we would have admitted Paul Perillo.
Oh, nice.
Touché. I didn't apply, by the way.
If they wanted a bald fat guy who knew nothing about sports, they would have had Chris Berman. Oh, they did.
Oh, on to my question. So, see, we it's all in jest, Eleanor. We're all friends here.
We continue to make friends in the media.
On to her question. In a recent blog post, our friend Mike Reese dropped three names the Patriots were looking at with their second first-round pick. Christian Ballard, Stephen Pia, is that how we're pronouncing it?
I don't know. We change it every time. It's not Paella.
The kid from Oregon State.
We know how not to say it.
It's definitely
Paella.
Not Paella. Huh?
It's Paella.
Kramer would like
Paella.
That, though.
It doesn't have that
Who
up and down.
Who doesn't like Paella?
Continuous. Paella.
And
Paella.
Corey Liggett.
Liggett.
Haven't heard these three discussed outside of Pia's weightlifting record. Thoughts? Keep up the great work during the lockout.
A lot of people like that Liggett guy.
Brown, Bruin, Eleanor.
He's a defensive lineman out of
Illinois, yeah.
Every time I see one of these D linemen, I kind of just gloss over it because I just don't fixate on that need. I really don't. Paella, same thing.
Yeah.
Best nose tackle in the draft. Well, I'm sorry. I thought we had the best nose tackle in the NFL. So why do we need the best nose tackle in the draft?
Why do we have to put the emphasis on nose?
Who's
tackle.
The other guy?
Nose
tackle. Vince
Christian Ballard?
Who's that? I'm not sure I'm familiar with
him. Wow.
He's not on the Andy Hart big board?
I don't know.
I'm sure he is.
It's not on my radar right now, my mental radar.
Hang on.
But you know me, I forget it.
Hang on. Do a quick search here.
Quick search.
Since we have the
technology.
We have the technology in front of us. Kevin, where is lunch, by the way?
That was a good segue. It was the first thing that came to my mind.
Where is lunch?
Still waiting.
Still waiting for what?
It's not their fault. He just ordered it.
No, I ordered it at like 12:05.
University of Iowa defensive end, 6'4", 288. Converted to DN from tight end as a freshman. Sounds like J.J. Watt. Similar profile there.
Yeah, but what?
Eventually,
sounds like a 3-4 end, right?
Who wrote this? Hank Stram?
300 pounds.
Eventually matriculated inside,
but he, I mean, where is he projected to go? 28th pick in the draft. I don't know anything.
Going
about
to NFL draft scout here and find
Adrian
out.
Because Claiborne, I know Klug, who you make fun of me because I kind of like
Carl Klug. The two Ks.
He's an interior guy. Seems like just a high motor workman kind of guy for me.
He clogs the middle. And
Klug.
Clog with the K.
I don't know anything about this guy.
Projected round 2.
I don't know anything about him.
According to our friends, NFL Draft Scout.
I know their stuff.
Their stuff.
Yeah. I haven't done any work on Christian Ballard.
Just opening up the NFL Draft Scout page. Congratulations! I'm now the winner for March 15th, 2011. Click below to claim your free $1,000 Best Buy gift card.
Do it.
Why?
Because I want
to
see the
virus.
Because
you want to see what happens?
Claim now.
I have to claim it
in 115
seconds. 113.
Should he do it?
12.
Let's take a poll.
11,
should he do it?
Order
10.
Before midnight tomorrow.
Do it. See what happens.
This is this actually the second time. That was good. This is actually the second time this has happened to me going on NFL Draft Scout.
Really? It's never happened to me.
Is it, maybe they don't like you.
It's never happened to me before either.
You've never been an NFL Draft Scout?
Yeah, it's only for people who go to the combine and visit the
NFL
Draft Scout.
I actually spend quite a bit of time. Not as much as you two, but I like
it.
Well,
none of us has spent enough time there because we don't know Christian Ballard.
And he's projected as a second rounder.
A little synopsis.
True. Hold on. You know, I thought we sent you guys to the combine for a
reason. Okay,
I'll be honest with you. My famous quote, never bleeping heard of him.
I did not hear that name.
And I didn't see him at the combine.
Converted to defensive end from tight end as a freshman, eventually matriculated inside where he could best take advantage of his size and quickness. Ballard didn't make a lot of big-time plays as a three-year starter, but many scouts will see him as a potential 3-4 end.
I have no interest.
I don't know why we... I'm with Andy on this one. I just don't know why this has become the be-all, end-all. We need a 3-4 end. We can't survive without a 3-4 end.
Well, I know why, because they lost Richard Seymour, but there's no other Richard Seymour.
I understand that, but my point is...
But they still have Ty Warren.
We have Ty Warren coming back, unless there's something that we don't know.
Yeah.
Unless they don't expect Ty Warren back, or they're planning on getting rid of him. Unless they don't have any designs on re-signing Gerard Warren. Unless they don't think Marcus Stroud can play, and he's just a Damian Lewis of this year. I don't really understand why that has to be a first-round pick.
I don't either, Paul.
I don't get that.
I think
there's so many
know.
More pressing needs to
this
me.
Guy's so
is that a need?
Good.
Yes, it is.
How come he made no plays when Adrian Claiborne was being double-teamed all the time?
Because that's the way that's supposed to be in that system. You're not supposed to make plays. That's what they'll tell you.
I'd rather have Adrian Claiborne if I'm going to take an Iowa defensive lineman. I don't care
And I don't really care for him all that much
palsy
either.
Or whatever he's got.
Well, no, it was the birth defect.
Yeah,
well, not a birth defect. He had
he's got a nerve damage in his shoulder, neck.
From birth.
But he played with it, so I put it with Quinny's brain tumor.
Which
minor concern.
Yeah, it's minor concern, but it hasn't been a problem
right. Since
he's been in college. So,
right.
Kevin, any update on lunch over there? Nothing?
Nope. I just went out and checked.
7% precincts reporting, still no call on lunch.
All right, well, we're an hour into the show, so it's probably an appropriate time to take our first break. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482, the ACE ticket hotline. We'll take more of your emails and phone calls after it.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Gino Cappelletti. You're listening to PFW in Progress on patriots.com radio.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from BCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
You know, you don't want to be so big and stiff, you know, come season time. You want to be able to loosen up. And I never like to get too big and stiff anyway. I always try to be, you know, more athletic and more lean and, keeping my ability to move.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
You just got off the phone. Is that lunch?
Lunch.
All right. Get to it.
Go get it. And another break.
And speaking of lunch, no, James Pettigrew, our most interesting fan in the world. Yeah.
On James's email, just for 1 second, real quick. No, Patrick Peterson, we talked about how they don't want the NFLPA doesn't want the players to go. Patrick Peterson says he plans to attend. He wants to attend. So I'm sure he will not be alone.
How about
that.
The courageous Aggie?
The courageous Von Aggie Miller might sit out. But.
Yeah, probably safe bet there, but that's good. That's
An NFLPA says they are not asking prospects to boycott the 2011 draft.
Merely suggesting?
At this hour.
Oh, at this point.
That's what it says.
Yeah. But that was the subject of James's email. He said NFLPA is planning to boycott the draft, so no draftees will attend. What effect? he writes, what effect with an E / affect with an A? And then in parentheses, circle the correct one, Andy. Will this have, if any? I think it makes the NFLPA look bad, but I'm far from impartial. On another note, you guys, have you guys been made aware of any cutoff dates for you guys if the lockout continues? I need some people to join me in midweek drinking.
Oh, I'd be
Paul. Whether or not that happens, Paul is up for that.
I can work
James.
That around my work schedule.
And he often does.
Yes.
We see him disappear for hours at a time. We don't know where he's gone.
Right. Listen, you're the one who has the drinking problem, my friend. You go walkabout.
No, well, we know where Andy goes when he's missing. He goes to the gym. You know where I go. We go walkabout. We have no idea where you're going, sir.
I don't go anywhere. I sit in my office.
Sometimes you do. You meet your...
sometimes I talk to No Socks.
Circle blank friends for beers CBS scene.
That's like once.
Twice, I think.
I think it was twice.
No, the CBS scene was not the email friends as you so... rudely referred to him as circle
blank.
Yeah, that's not right.
What? That's what you guys do.
But that was two different things.
They blank?
Yeah. Blank each other off.
The day in CBS scene, that was my college friends that were here.
So that wasn't a circle blank?
No.
Square?
That was a square. Yeah.
Triangle blank.
Can you fill in the blank, Andy?
No.
Okay.
Doesn't Andy look like he's going to like
fall over?
Keel over.
Yeah,
he's
haven't eaten.
Like he's going to fall asleep.
Here it comes, though.
Even eaten.
So what do we think? What do we think? How is this going to? Is this going to have any impact? The asking
you
potential draftees.
Affect defect.
No, we already said we know
something.
The
by the way, I screwed up throughout my life. Maybe that's why I ended up at BU.
I think it's useless. I mean, I don't really care whether the guys are there or not. What?
No, nothing.
I mean, I
couldn't agree with you more.
It's like 3 seconds of TV. I mean, at its most interesting is when the guy slides and he's the last guy left. That's like. The
but
worst
then,
part,
I don't,
but the most interesting.
It's like the most interesting, but to me, it just makes me uncomfortable.
Oh,
so I don't even really want to watch it.
If they're not there, it means their girlfriends aren't there.
What did
I
you
usually
drop?
Like looking at the girlfriend. As long as it's not mine.
Oh, okay. But you kind of, in a way, feel for the players who aren't going to be able to experience the thing that they've
they're
been dreaming about, thinking about for
listen,
so long.
The players are going to go.
Probably not Von Miller. I would be surprised
that's
if
his
he
choice.
Goes.
It's his. It's up to him. If he doesn't want to go, I mean, he's the one. They didn't force him to be on this lawsuit. He obviously felt strongly about it and decided that it was important enough to him to do it.
By the way, well spoken and intelligent, so I don't think he was just like
coerced.
Railroaded into it or whatever. I think he's smart enough to say, I want to be part of that, or I don't want to be part
right.
of that.
Right. Steve from doesn't say where. Steve from Winchester. He wrote it in here. Says, why would Von Miller agree to be a plaintiff in the antitrust case? Isn't he supposed to be interviewing for a high-paying job?
Well, if he used even to be high-paying,
well, he's already done that.
Well, yeah. If even one GM in the top 10 of the draft says, I could take Miller or someone rated about the same who isn't suing me, that's money out of Miller's pocket. Well, but that's not really a fair argument there, Stephen, because
there's not a single GM, first of all, that who would consider that. This. If no. the guy can play, they're going to take him.
Right, and all the players are suing them. It's not just him.
Right. I mean, should the Patriots get rid of Tom Brady? Because he's on the, you know, he's on the masthead.
Peyton Manning?
It is funny, you know, we haven't really talked about that. It officially is, because he's the first
his
name.
First name alphabetically.
Alphabetically, it is Tom Brady v. the NFL.
Brady et al. Versus NFL et al.
So, I mean, should Robert Kraft sit there and say, I don't want any part of this guy anymore because of it? No. I mean, that would be silly, and it would be... it would be silly to boycott a kid right now for similar reasons. And Von Miller. Now, if you don't think he can play, that's different.
Yeah.
There may be a reason. I mean, I don't know enough about Von Miller, but somebody should do the I mean, for all we know, he comes from a strong union family, you know, that just, you know, flat out, we support mm-hmm. unions, and I'm going to do it. My dad, blah, blah, blah. I don't know the specific answer.
Well, it's clearly they wanted a player who was going to be a marquee name in the draft. Because they got marquee players who are established NFL veterans like Brady, Manning, Breeze, Mankins, Vrabel to put their name on it as well. So they wanted, I think symbolically, they wanted to show that even the newcomers, the young rookies, the guys who aren't yet in the league but will be, are symbolically taking that stance with them. And I think maybe they just wanted one. Maybe they only needed one. And they talked to Von Miller. They saw what a, you know,
well,
like you said.
If Cam Newton wanted to do it, I'm sure they would have accepted him.
Maybe.
Because you're right. They're looking for high profile. They're not looking for Will Hill or some fifth-round jag. I mean, they're looking from top prospects who are going to be stars, theoretically, in 2 years in the National Football League. But I just don't think it really has any bearing on anything.
And it doesn't it doesn't help matters. It certainly doesn't help matters. And I think you just risk... hurting yourself in the court of public opinion that way. I mean, just let the guys just enjoy the moment for what it is. I mean, all the other players who were suing, all the veteran players, or at least the high-profile ones, had that moment to shine. They all had their moment on stage, got their picture taken. It's a symbolic thing more than anything. You know, you put the hat on, you hold up the jersey.
But it also leads to potentially more symbolic, like, you know, would guys refuse to shake the commissioner's hand? Or something. I mean, where does it go? Does it become some sort of spectacle? Do they start saying stuff in the interviews?
Well, that's a good point.
You know, there's a slippery slope kind of in both directions.
That is a good point. Although, and the NFL had to consider that, and yet they're still inviting the 15 to 20 prospects that they normally do, they say.
Yeah. I wouldn't have the guts to not shake Goodell's hand. He might just, like, new rule. Don't shake my hand at the draft, you're banned. 10 games.
God complex, I am God.
Steve in the heart of Texas writes in. Fellas. Where's
the heart of Texas?
Deep. It's a big state.
Left side?
Yeah, near the lung. A little bit to the left, yeah. Fellas, given the current state of the NFL, do you know what the Patriots organization is doing or considering doing for the support staff such as vendors, groundskeepers, and such? Or is it just going to be another example of the little guys, perhaps including the lovable PFW guys, getting the shaft? I hope that will not
lovable,
be the case.
I like it.
On a side note, Andy, for the love of God, do something to make your mom proud for a change. That's Steve in the heart of Texas.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I guess he doesn't like your antics.
My mom's very proud of me. I don't live in the heart of Texas.
As far as us, the lovable PFW, it's business as usual, we're told.
Until they tell us otherwise, I'm going to continue to show up to work like I always would and prepare for the draft.
10:45.
One of those cups there, Andy?
I don't know why you have to be so just rotten. You're a rotten human being.
Mr. Grinch.
I don't get it.
P.S., thanks for the outstanding job you do. And yes, that means you too, Andy.
Thanks. Enjoy the heart of Texas.
Then and now is the subject of Paul's email. Not this Paul.
Skinny and fat. Oh, not this Paul.
No,
and
not
he
this.
Was skinny,
not
now
this
he
Paul.
Is fat.
Paul doesn't say where he's from, though, but back when I was a teenager, back when I was a teenager in the late 60s, a group of friends and I would take the subway into Boston, and for $2, we'd get bleacher seats in Fenway Park. Had a great time. In the early to mid-70s, I moved to Las Vegas and saw Frank Sinatra perform for $50. That was a dinner show. You weren't allowed to take any pictures in the showroom because of all the bent noses in the audience. I won't tell you what it cost to see Celine Dion today. The collective bargaining between the owners and players has been described...
I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that explanation there.
Bent noses?
The bent noses remark?
Yeah. I don't like it. Go ahead.
I have one, so I can't really talk. Collective bargaining between the owners and players has been described as billionaires versus millionaires. What about the fans? I am an Adam Smith fan who basically said if you have a good product at a good price and pay fair wage, you'll probably be successful. Today, I don't see how a low-income fan can afford to see a Patriots game or any other NFL team. This is where my concern is. Last fall, most of the BCS College Football Bowl games were only on pay TV. It looks like March Madness games are being shared this year with pay TV. Are you concerned that low-income people may be priced out in this market?
Well, they already have been. I mean, to go to a game is... I don't even think it's low-income now. I think now middle-class income is getting priced out of most sporting events. Because I think to sit down and say a family, you know, they do those average family things, but to say we're going to go spend $300, $400, $500 on a Sunday afternoon or a...
And that's what it costs. You're absolutely right.
That's a lot of money.
Including parking.
That's a car payment. That's a lot.
A family of four to go to a game, any sport, basketball, hockey, football, baseball, it's costing you upwards $300-$400.
Yep.
Easy.
Yep.
Before the day is all said and done. Unless you just want to sit there, buy a ticket, and sit in your seat, and then leave.
Right. Yeah. You have to park. You have to get something to eat, whether or not that's at the concession stand or you buy
some kind of souvenir.
Take.
You know, parking. You know, it adds up.
But as long as they continue to fill stadiums and have attendance, why would they ever not do it?
Right.
Now, I think some teams have gone a little bit towards family areas, family nights, certain, you know. I remember the Fleet's TD Garden had, you know, the certain ring around the top for students
$10.
For $10 and different. They do different things, but as long as they can get somebody to spend $50, $75, $100, $150 for a ticket, they're going to do it.
I saw the Arizona Cardinals lowered some ticket prices. Now, not a lot. It's like what you're talking about at the Garden. You know, it's
taking a section of the stadium.
It's certain sections. It's higher levels, but they dropped the prices from $40 to $25. For the so-called cheap seats. And listen, I don't think they'll be the only ones that do something like that. I think there'll be some owners around the league that are, you know, and it's more symbolic. Like I said, it's not a ton of seats, but I think in an environment like this, I think you'd be wise to do so.
Right, and there's the whole belief. Right now, the most critical fan base maybe are young people. You know, the kid who's right on the verge of whatever age you are, 10, 11, 12, 13, when you become a fan, when you really can get roped in to a lifetime of following a team. If you miss out by chance, like, again, worst case scenario, like the Wall Street Journal said, you miss an entire season. Well, theoretically, you could miss an entire year of those kids, whatever that age is where they develop into fans. And if you lose them, it doesn't cost you a damn cent right now. But in 10, 15 years, when they're graduating college and they're getting good jobs and they're deciding where I'm going to be a season ticket holder or where I'm going to spend money.
It's interesting.
It bites you in the butt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's what those things are.
And you take that group that Andy's talking about and you expand it a little bit up and you say, you know, 14, 15-year-old kids all the way up to, say, 24, 25-year-olds. Because I know personally, I was as fanatical a fan of all sports as you could get when I was a kid. The time of my life that I was probably least interested was when I was in college. And now part of that was because we just absolutely stunk. The Patriots were awful.
It was a bad sports
in the late
era.
80s into the early 90s, we were terrible. But I also think that as, you know, a 22-year-old, I got into, you know, other things that were I wanted to be out.
Drinking?
I didn't want to be sitting by my TV all the time. I was going out. Now, I think I probably would have made exceptions had the Patriots been the way they are now and winning games on a consistent basis and making playoff runs. I'd have made sure, you know, instead of going 1-15 and 2-14, I probably would have done more to make sure I watched. But to Andy's point, and I think it's a really good one, what happens if you take a 21-year-old kid right now and you don't give him any football to watch from the fall and he realizes, my life didn't change much. I didn't miss anything. I found things to do all fall long and into the winter.
Do you lose him long term?
Yeah. Do you lose him forever?
And then do you lose his kid? Because if he's not grown up, I mean, it's
a good point.
It's hard to put a number on it, but I think it's possible.
Well, along those lines, Malcolm in Toronto has a sort of a game for us, more of a set of discussion points, but kind of a game. Says his subject line is, "Who is bigger in Boston?" Hey guys, great show as usual in the off season. I just finished watching baseball.
Paul, it's not always about you. I was not going to go with a fat joke there. You live in Peabody. You're the biggest in Peabody.
That's not fair. There's got to be some fatter people in Peabody.
He's remarkably thin for how he eats. I've said it a million times. The man should weigh 400 pounds.
Another Andy Hart backhanded
while
compliment.
He's deep throating the chicken parm.
You know, this is a guy. He would have a chicken parm calzone in front of him right now if he were allowed to eat that.
Well, some could argue that I developed some of those issues because I had a chicken parm calzone at least once a week for about a year and a half, and many times twice a week.
Well, Paul has too, but his constitution hasn't really suffered for it.
I don't know about his constitution, but his waistline's bigger.
Thanks, Eric.
Anyway,
appreciate it, bro.
Malcolm continues, I just finished watching Baseball by Ken Burns, including the 10th inning, which was released last year. It highlighted the 2004 ALCS and showed the celebration and joy for the entire region of New England. My question to you guys is, except for what?
Fred Kirsch.
My question to you guys is, well, questions, actually. One, which was bigger, the first Super Bowl for the Patriots or the 2004 World Series for the Red Sox?
Super Bowl.
I
think he means,
for the New England region.
I think the 2004 Red Sox.
I think that's what he means.
And Fred's not here, so I think we're safe to say that.
Yeah.
If Fred were here, he'd
say, oh, Patriots, yeah.
The Patriots was huge.
It was absolutely huge,
but it was topped, I think, by the Red Sox.
Yes. Right. Because you didn't have generations.
86 years, man.
Yeah, I mean, you had some families who had been following since 1960, when the team was established and played its first game. But you had more people who had generations, grandparents, great-grandparents, going all the way back to the early 20th century, the last time the Red Sox had won a World Series. So, yeah, I think there was a lot more emotion invested in the 2004. Not that there wasn't. I mean, 2001 had plenty of emotion with what happened with 9/11 and all that, and the long wait.
No, it was huge.
Exercising the ghosts of New Orleans and previous Super Bowls there. But
it's just different.
It was. It was. It's definitely different.
I think Red Sox were at a different level.
Yeah, 86 years. It was a bigger deal.
Second question from Malcolm in Toronto: rank who's bigger in the area? Bruins, Celtics, Patriots, Red Sox.
Right now, I would say the Patriots are number one, and the Red Sox are two. Probably Celtics, Bruins.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the Patriots and Red Sox. I think the Patriots have pulled close enough now so that it can vary depending on.
Who's
time of year, who's winning, signed a free agent, yeah, made a trade.
Yeah, that could very easily be a different answer next year if the Red Sox win the World Series this year, which a lot of people think they're favorite
they're
to do,
yep.
And the Patriots don't. Patriots do something like they did last year and lose in the first round again.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could ask 100 people the same question and get the opposite answer. But right now, I think
it's
the Patriots.
It's at least tied, I think.
I think the Patriots have sort of moved past the Red Sox.
They also have the star power. I think Belichick and Brady are two bigger stars than anyone on the Red
Brady's
Sox roster.
Brady's enormous. Mm-hmm. The Red Sox are boring right now. They're dull as dirt.
Their biggest star I watched ground out slowly to first and second base last night. Not special.
Yes, be prepared, folks, for a summer long of
Adrian Gonzalez,
of Andy Hart ridiculousness. Hey, girl.
Legs in full effect today, boy.
Yeah.
Paul.
Oh boy.
You need a minute.
Big fan. I might.
Last question from Malcolm.
Won't take much more.
Is Brady?
Won't take a minute.
Is Brady the biggest star in the sporting culture of Boston?
Yes.
Currently, certainly.
Absolutely.
All time? I don't know what he means there, but we'll answer both questions.
He has crossed over into an area that no one else ever did. So
I think all time he's number one.
But is he the biggest pure sports star?
Probably not.
That's probably Bird or Orr.
Yeah.
Or Ted Williams.
Ted Williams. I would say Ted Williams might be second. And I think he might be second on both. including the non-sports, because of his whole fishing shtick and all the commercials.
It's hard for me to, you know, without experiencing it. Andy obviously did. So I don't know with Ted Williams.
No, my mother's a big Ted Williams fan, so I had to hear a lot of crap about Ted Williams.
But he got crucified in the media here
for,
because he was a jerk.
Well, maybe she was a contrarian to the media? Like you.
He was a jerk to the media, or
oh no, in general.
Oh yeah, no,
he didn't even go. What is his?
He was a not so old.
He was
cuss.
Fishing. Yeah, he was out
he was
fishing
kind of a
when,
cuss
his
whole
when his
life.
Son was born.
A young cuss?
I'm fine with that. The way the son turned out, of course, with the way the son turned out, maybe it wouldn't have turned out that way.
Exactly.
What came first, chicken or the egg?
But I
where are they now?
Bobby Orr dead. Bobby Orr and Larry Bird to me would be sports. Like Andy says, I'd separate just in terms of sports.
Yeah.
Brady is iconic, and I don't think anybody else really
has more of a world renown too.
Yeah, I don't think anybody really approaches his.
Bledsoe.
Well, in the greater Peabody area, maybe.
By the way, Paul's already whining
about
that the year potentially Drew Bledsoe could go into the Patriots Hall of Fame. There may not be a year. There may not be a season. There may not be a ceremony.
Don't tell me that's coincidental.
Coincidentally, the guy it's the 2011 season.
The most star-crossed career ever.
2011.
People are starting to get away from that.
Would there be a event? Why did I say that with an A? It's an event, not an event. because he might not show up, right? I mean, maybe he's a union guy. So you're inducting Drew Bledsoe into the Hall of Fame, and he doesn't show up.
But it would have to. So it would be a self-contained event if there were.
You would just have to say, you know, we're going to have a ceremony, blah blah blah.
Maybe
before a Revs game, double their attendance. What?
Kevin laughing through the glass back there. Always good for at least one a show of those. I don't know if they would do a standalone event.
In my cube, though. Huh? Even if he doesn't get into the Patriots Hall of Fame this year.
He'll get in at some point.
He has
Paul
a
said they'll mail him his jacket and plaque.
I don't think they'll do a standalone event, though. I think they would have it coincide with something. The return of the game, if there's...
Now, let's face
that's
a real possibility. No one really thinks that they're not going to play the season. But a lot of people think it's going to extend into the summer and affect training camp. And if it does that, it could certainly affect
the
preseason.
Yeah.
And that's when they do that, right? The first preseason game?
First home preseason game, yeah. That's when they kick it off.
Poor Drew.
Maybe you should not vote for him in your little panel so that he won't be nominated, so that he can't get in, and then we'll wait till next year.
I can't see him doing that.
Vote for Kevin Turner.
I can't see him doing that.
I might just vote for one guy this year. Drew Bledsoe, Drew Bledsoe, Drew Bledsoe.
For all three votes?
You vaguely remember Kevin Turner?
I thought
Turner game?
I thought he was going to say he vaguely remembered
Drew
Bledsoe.
Drew Bledsoe set the NFL record for attempts and completions? And
needed Kevin Turner to win it?
And threw a touchdown pass in overtime? 1994,
yeah.
You should.
Just wanted to find out what you guys thought about the questions. Keep up the great work in the offseason. Looking ahead to the draft, Malcolm in Toronto.
I like those questions about the various teams, though, and the stars, comparing stars.
Yeah.
Celtics don't have a single star right now.
Well, not a transcendent one. I mean, they have
stars
within the NBA.
They're competing for their own star power.
You know who their star power is right now?
Shaq.
Yeah. And he doesn't play.
No, that's true. Right.
Well, and when he does play, he can't play.
He has it. What?
He can't play. Retired 4 years ago. He's the Kevin Mannix of the NBA.
Be that as it may. Now, am I allowed to wear Celtics jerseys to work? Well, tomorrow's St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, well, actually, Thursday is.
Well, Thursday. Yeah. I was thinking of unveiling my Shaq jersey.
Shaq Fu.
Why don't you be like one of those geeks that put like a dress shirt underneath it and wear it to the game? Doesn't that make you uncomfortable watching those
guys? Well, I was going to put something under it, not a dress shirt. I figured like a long sleeve t-shirt. Kind of cold. You want me to just air my guns out?
Sun's out, guns out.
Show up like I show up to Fred's party.
No, I actually didn't think there was even a remote possibility that you were going to wear the tank top.
It's St. Patrick's Day. It has a shamrock on it. Is there not a more appropriate time? I mean, that's when you wear a Celtics jersey.
Should bring a chamois with a shamrock.
I was just thinking in light of certain
ongoing
issues.
I know.
That there.
I know.
Indeed.
That.
Sports
know what
dollar competition.
About. Yes.
All that stuff. Maybe I shouldn't.
Tread lightly.
I'll ask Fred.
He'll
say don't.
One of our, a couple of regulars writing in here, Brooklyn Matt.
Why don't we skip that one and go to
says,
the other regular?
Eric holding court, this rules. At last, the PFW in progress proper social pecking order has been established.
And you notice it's the most boring show ever.
We've got Eric lording supreme and holding court, and Andy's been, Regulated to his rightful supporting
regulated
sidekick,
or
court jester role.
He stumbled. He stumbled.
He put regulated.
Ooh, you idiot. It's relegated. No wonder you got a 700 on your SATs or whatever it was.
I'm loving every minute of this. I'm lounging around eating truffles. Tally freaking ho. Regards, Brooklyn Matt.
Is that what you call those women you surround yourselves with? Ho.
He tallies his freaking hoes. That's one. That's two. That's
do you
three.
Regulate them too?
Well, you got to.
Better regulate.
The regulators.
This guy's a dink. Man. And now Chris with a TIAN. Gentlemen.
Whoa, haven't heard from him in a little bit.
Gentlemen and Andy. Pretty crappy times for
screw
us,
NFL
fans.
Screw you, Christian.
While I'm really looking forward to the draft and PFW shows, I am bummed about the possibility of no mini camps, training camps, and a truncated season. I believe if it gets to the point where a no deal is reached until
day here at PFW in progress,
till late August or early September, we should be in for some bad-looking football come late fall. I agree with that, Christian. What do you guys think? I mean, how do you create a roster and evaluate players without any or limited training camp or preseason games?
It's difficult.
It really is. Every offseason, I thank the heavens for PFW in progress to get me through it. I know I haven't said it in a while, so thank you. All right. That's Chris with the TIAN. But, yeah, I agree with this
point. Should benefit your New England Patriots. Best regular season team in football last year. Very little roster turnover. You should kick ass and take names when there is a season.
I agree with the theory. Can the football get any worse than it was last year?
Well, but as bad as it was last year, is it going to be worse, I think, is Christian's
yes,
point.
It will be.
And I think
you're going to have veterans in new places that have limited acclimation periods, and you're going to have rookies like Taylor Price struggling in an even shorter period to learn a system. It's not going to be good. It's not good. It's not good for anyone.
Yeah. So it's going to be even more incumbent upon those veterans like Price. Well, he'll be a veteran now, but to try to meet amongst themselves in the offseason, to train together, to go over the playbook they had last year, to just to keep in shape, keep the timing
down. I
don't
think they're allowed to have playbooks.
Well, but did they turn them in at the end of the season, too?
Yeah. Yeah.
No. So
I don't believe they're allowed to have playbooks.
But they remember what their plays were. They can run pass patterns. They
so
know.
Rob Gronkowski should lead the meetings.
Oh, yeah.
Let's call that one where I run this way a little and then that and then way, that and then way. We throw it to me in the end zone.
That's pretty cool. I like that play.
No. You know, Tom made a great throw. You know, Lions did a great job blocking.
It was awesome.
It was awesome. Pretty cool. Yeah. Okay, Scott doesn't say where, has a little trade scenario for us.
I like trades. Hopefully it doesn't involve a veteran player because everyone knows
no,
those are not allowed.
No, he's talking draft pick trades. Pat's trade number 60.
Okay.
And number 17.
Okay, for Quinn.
That you get. That gets you to number 11 if Quinn is still there.
Sure. Any trade that ends up with us getting Quinn, I'm for.
Okay. You now can get the tackle at 28 and manipulate the whole draft with number 33. Our theory of the top pick in the second round.
Right. I like it.
Day two. Trade back.
Trade number 60 to move up six spots in the first round is what you're saying?
Sure. Yeah, essentially. Then trade back and have a mid-second rounder, which gets you the wideout you need, and a second-round pick next year.
Sure.
Okay.
I'm okay with all these.
And finally, trade 74 for a second next year.
Sure.
And get a running back and a guard in third.
Sure. I'm okay with most of it. It all sounds like solid.
Theory. I was really only interested in the first trade, and I like it. Like it a lot.
The first one.
I
get
do
Quinn.
Need to bring up Michael Lombardi made some comments. I didn't actually hear them, but I saw them in the Twittersphere that he thinks the Patriots could target or be interested in Aldon Smith, the defensive end, outside linebacker, Missouri, had a very productive year 2 years ago. Then battled a little bit of an injury issue this year. Wasn't quite as productive, but is certainly an intriguing option moving forward. And he's kind of under the Robert Quinn thing. I said, Paul, you know, he had a down year for a variety of reasons, whatever they were, but
right.
He wasn't as good. Even he joked, would have been nice if I could have come out after my true sophomore year. So he's a young, developing talent that I have no problem with. I've just kind of pinpointed I like Quinn better. But if they leave with either of those two guys, you'll hear me sing a nice tune.
Oh, yeah. He's a guy we all liked.
Now,
you know, not knowing a tremendous amount about him. But
right. I'm all for him. He, you know, didn't rub me the wrong way at the combine. He's not Greg
McElroy. I'm glad.
Yep, no dirty looks, Paul.
No dirty looks. Nope. So we have
and,
no.
I think he can play.
No real bust potential because of a dirty look.
I think he has bust potential.
But not because of a dirty look. There's a difference.
No.
Right.
Difference between the Darren McFadden's of the world and Aldon Smith.
Yeah.
It's usually about 3 child support payments per month.
I don't know why he has to bring it there. Such an ugly place.
Well,
facts are ugly. Facts or opinions? had children born to different mothers same month leading up to the draft.
Yeah, so like our quarterback, except for the draft part.
Except leading up to, except same month, except children being born in the same month. Yeah,
close
you know,
enough.
There's Will Hills, there's Darren McFadden's.
Close enough.
And then there are guys with children and families. There's a difference.
Close enough.
There's
oh,
a
boy.
Difference.
Close enough.
Danny Ainge had kids in college. It wasn't an issue.
I was married.
Right. There's a difference. Logan Mankins, married, children, difference. Than people who have children from different mothers in the same month. Different. When a guy says...
I don't know why the month is so important there.
Well, because it shows...
Because it means within a couple days they were banging two different women
yeah.
9 months earlier.
Right. Well, wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me that he wasn't doing that?
Who?
The quarterback.
What quarterback?
Ours.
I don't know that.
Yours, mine, and ours.
I don't know that.
Come on.
I don't know that. But this is fact.
Okay.
You know, if a man has child, same time, two different women, then 10 months earlier, they were doing it.
Okay. Doing it. Okay. Doing it.
So there's a difference between Darren McFadden, Will Hill, and Tom Brady.
Bet
I don't know how you're trying to railroad the quarterback here into something
Fred,
he's not.
Bet your Fred never thought we'd get in trouble talking about this.
We're treading lightly, though. We're treading very lightly. All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. One more break, and we'll be back.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Gino Cappelletti. You're listening to PFW in Progress on Patriots.com Radio.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What? If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of
really,
that game?
It was really, really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery.
But they take that field out, you know.
In trays.
Yes, they do. But right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
Really? Yeah, I can't help it.
I thought it too.
No,
you got to make it.
You didn't
laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts. Jesus. Well, the end zones were side.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
And another great moment in PFW in Progress was last Thursday on the show, according to one of our listeners, Giovanni, who writes in from doesn't say where. Men of PFW, where's that Kirschbaum? Last Thursday's show was by far the best show I've ever heard out of you guys. It was a pretty good show.
We did have a good show.
I don't remember.
From the Jaws soundbite to It's Not Illegal, It's Only Against the Rules, to Russell Hoge, to Kevin giggling like a kid because of Paul snarfing. Anyway,
Jaws.
Thumbs up. I like to talk about New England sports. I feel bad for Drew Bledsoe and agree with Andy as he was one of the most star-crossed players ever. As a diehard, I wouldn't. Yeah, I was going to say that's Paul.
Jaws.
As a diehard, I wouldn't have it any other way, though. As Brady came in, won Super Bowls, and we know the rest of the story. He certainly did not live up to his true football potential. He should have won a Super Bowl or two. Anyways, I'm not going to throw thesaurus words around like the other emailers, but I'm glad you fellers are still around. I'll send the front office 10,000 more emails if that's what it's going to take. Yes, keep doing that. As always, Jets are garbage, Andy's awesome, and Ken Walter rocks.
Yeah.
It's Giovanni. Yeah. We were talking a little bit ago. One of our listeners sent in a suggestion about doing an auction draft for the NFL instead of the
Jason
regular.
And Chiba.
Right. Who's doing okay, by the way, for those of you who are wondering. As his predicament in
he's shaking it off.
Japan. Yes, he is. Thanks, Gilbert Gottfried.
I figured he opened with one.
He did.
Wait, what did Gilbert Gottfried say?
I don't know.
He was tweeting jokes about the earthquake and the tsunami immediately after it happened. And so because he's the voice of the duck on Aflac, and Aflac does 75% of their business in Japan, they decided to part ways with Gilbert Gottfried as their official voiceover spokesman.
That's unreal.
Yeah, but apparently,
what is funny?
Well, asking.
I would like to know. Was it funny? Have you seen any?
I haven't.
Well, that's what I
haven't
seen. That's exactly what
because
I'm
because I saw heard
what
a statement
funny?
From Affleck that actually not Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck. Affleck. Ben Affleck chimes in. You know,
Even in the statement, I think that they said like in no way we're humorous or something. It's almost like they said
if it were
it
funny,
wasn't even funny.
Right.
But that would change funny, things for me. I kind of agree with Affleck there. If
it were funny, you would have let him stay?
I think if it's not funny, it comes off way more insensitive, you know, as way more insensitive.
Right.
I mean, if you're clearly making a joke and it's truly humorous, yeah, it might be inappropriate because it's too soon. But at least you can say, oh, well, that was really funny.
So give me
though.
An example.
I don't know. I'm not that clever.
Give me an earthquake
not
joke.
Lie
that would have been funny last
no,
week.
I said it's probably still inappropriate, even if it's funny.
I
but
think what
I understand what Aflac is saying. Not only you're being insensitive, it's not even funny. It can't be.
But I'm trying to think.
It
of
can't
what
be construed any different surfs
way. Up Japan.
Well, at least what Jason did in his subject line, "What's shaken,"
was funny.
It was funny, and it was as far as you could probably go
and
at this
can,
point.
And he can
and
say
he's,
it though. He lived
through
it. Well,
right.
That's different too. I agree with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, he actually lived through it, and everyone's doing fine. But
now, someone who lost a family member in it might not find it funny.
Might not find it. Well, certainly wouldn't find it funny. But and we don't even really know what Gilbert Gottfried said. That chore for our listeners. See if they can scrounge up one
yeah,
or two of those.
Are we going to be able to read them on the air?
No, bad but radio. I want us to be able to. I mean, I want us
it's
to be able
gonna
to
be
read
radio
them.
Program of us going. Oh, you can't say that. Oh,
no, but later on we'll take a look at them and judge for ourselves. Anyway, Jason brought up about the auction draft for the NFL as a lot of fantasy drafts. Conduct their drafts. And Brian from Aspen writes in, let's put health aside because we can't project that. How would the Lions have fared if they had gone all in on Stafford a couple of years ago, in assuming there was an auction draft, and didn't have the money then left to bid on Brandon Pettigrew, the tight end, Lewis Delmas, the safety, or DeAndre Levy? Was DeAndre Levy?
Those are different
losing
drafts. Right? They weren't all in the same draft.
They got, right, they got Pettigrew in the same draft, I believe, right? Stafford and Pettigrew were out
well,
of the same
maybe
the same
they were
year.
All in the same draft.
I think they were.
Pettigrew
and Delmas.
So they had two first-round picks that
yeah.
year.
Yeah, they
and
did.
And Delmas was the second. Okay.
Delmas, and then DeAndre Levy, who are
yeah.
integral parts of the Lions' improving
yeah, no,
roster.
No, he's right. He's right.
Teams not only need to need quality starters, they also need quality depth. This is especially true for rebuilding teams trying to recover from too many years of bad management. Let me say that. Oh, and then we were
but
also.
That's their choice,
and that's part of why I'm saying I think it would hurt the bad teams because I think what would happen is the Matthew Stafford would probably be taken away from them by someone who doesn't need the four players, five players that the Lions hope to get in that draft, but only one. Now, maybe it's not a quarterback, but you know what my point is. That the top five pick, maybe a team that's,
So they'll get their depth, but not their talent,
right,
necessarily.
Right, and they need that high-end talent. I don't understand what's wrong with the system.
No, nothing. No, it was just an idea that he wanted to toss out.
Yeah, I
for discussion.
I really don't like it.
Since we have to tread lightly.
Very angry little man.
No, it's not anger. I just don't like it. Maybe it's my deep-seated disdain for fantasy sports. Maybe that's why I don't like it.
Maybe his hatred for fantasy sports is
well. That's what he. That's what he based the whole thing on.
Right. Right.
Jason's original premise was the snake draft and the bid.
Just make it a keeper league where you only get to keep one or two players, and everybody else is up for redraft every year.
What would be interesting, though, is if the NFL did...
Who would you keep?
What if the NFL did do
know, you start talking about that, and pretty soon abortion comes up.
Oh, boy. What if the NFL did a snake draft? So your first round, the last pick in the first round gets the first pick in the second. You
Packers
go all the way around
twice.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
Because that's how some fantasy drafts
right.
work, too.
I think most of them, right?
Well, yeah.
Nah,
but
I don't know. Most of them do, but a lot of them do.
Everyone I've ever been in, which admittedly is not a lot... The difference is
you're starting from scratch.
Yeah, you're a fantasy draft. There's not any strength of team.
Well, some keeper leagues you have like a player or whatever.
No, but that's you know what my point is. My point is, you know, when you start a fantasy league, everybody's looking for new players. There's not like the Super Bowl champion who's starting off with Tom Brady, that doesn't have to have a quarterback early. I mean, most drafts
and gets two players in the top 33 instead of
right.
The top team getting, I mean, the worst team getting two
but it
players
would be,
in the top 30.
Yeah, it would be if you got...
Wouldn't be fair. I think that one has no fairness to it because it's not even a choice. You don't even get to decide how I'm going to go about doing my business. At least in the auction draft, you can decide, well, if I can bid, whatever, $6 million for 10 different guys and I get them all, I think I just added the equivalent of six...
Second round picks
or late first round picks, all of whom I think can be starters, and I just went from having no roster to a good roster overnight. At least there's some skill and in theory to it. This is just I either get the first pick or they get two picks and then I don't pick it. You know what I mean? They don't get to. I don't like that.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
No. Can't do that.
Snakes. I hate snakes.
We also were asked earlier about other publications or draft nicks.
Oh, Mel Kiper's the best. We didn't delve into audio-visual type people, but
right.
Mel Kiper's tremendous. Mike Mayock, Todd McShay, I
thought
was
highly of himself,
McEgo right? until I met him last year. Now he's a very nice guy.
Yeah, now he's a friend of yours.
He's a great guy.
Right. Brian.
A little dainty, though. A little
girl-wasted. Andy invited him up for a beer.
No, not really. I don't think he rolls in my kind of circles. We saw him coming out of some fancy pants hotel down there. He doesn't slum it with the reporters. He's big time TV guy.
Should have gone up to him and said, "Hey, remember when we did that?"
And he would have said, "No."
No.
And then Andy would have said, "He's the biggest jerk I've ever met."
I would have grabbed him by his panties.
But that would have been enjoyment.
It's
that would have provided entertainment
for us. Yes. Brian from Aspen suggests Scott Wright's draft countdown, and the draft Bible do a good job with draftable player information. Josh Buchanan also does a great job in evaluating these small school prospects. Go Huskies!
UConn?
That's how he signed off.
Nice.
For you, Paul.
How do you know it's for him? There's a lot of Huskies out there.
That's true.
It's one of the common nicknames in college sports.
I'll make that assumption.
Northern Illinois?
Northern Illinois.
Has the exact UConn. Same color scheme, logo.
Same Washington. They stole
uniforms. And no one knows because no one knows about Northeastern.
Well, no one knows about Northern Illinois either.
Unfortunately. More people know about that.
Earlier in the show, some of our listeners were saying they were boycotting all NFL-related news information sites.
Correct.
Except for PFW.
Good job.
That was Fred, right?
Fred from
Halifax,
yes. He got the ball
upstairs.
Started.
Fred from
yeah.
From Red 18, whatever it was.
Fred from your office.
Brett from Leominster says, "Hi, guys. I need this answered before I join the media boycott. What happens when we boycott everybody but PFW, and then Robert Kraft decides to decertify PFW? Do I have to hire Andy as my landscaper to get my news?"
Yes, and I plow your driveway, too. And for some reason, I just wanted to say, and maybe your wife.
But you won't say that because that would be crossing the line.
I was going to say, and maybe your wife, but I didn't.
No, you didn't say that. No, you should join the boycott, Brett.
Yes.
Join the boycott. We'll be, it's business as usual for us right
and
now.
In fact, call 1-800-494-PATS.
That's right.
Get a subscription.
I think we've been doing a fine job. Fine job of keeping you updated throughout this lockout, which is,
sure.
you know, only our first show into the lockout. But
it's a very special lockout edition.
Very special lockout edition, right. Well, you know, see, ask and you shall receive.
Fred?
Now strippers.
Oh.
Oh, the
Gilbert
tweets?
Gottfried. Well, yeah, let's see.
Just read them. Go for it. Fred's not here. Eric Scalavino reading.
No, tweets. This isn't the God. This is strippers writing in about Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh.
He says, how ironic is it that people are walking around Japan today saying Gilbert got fired from Aflac today?
I don't get it.
Got freed. From Aflac today.
I see what you did there. Do you get Aflac insurance if you're fired?
If it hurts and you miss work? Isn't that their slogan?
Yeah. What if you get fired?
If you get fired? I don't know if that's covered or not.
I don't think it is. That's unfortunate.
Hmm.
I've never cared for him. I like the duck. I don't like him.
He's not funny.
You don't like the duck?
No, I like the duck. I don't like him. I find him
annoying. Oh, Gilbert Gottfried
the
himself?
The voice, the shtick, the look, the everything.
But that's... He's made his career out of it.
That's fine. I don't
there's
have
obviously
like it.
There's obviously a niche that people...
Yeah, but I don't have to like it.
I didn't say you did.
I don't like him.
I don't think he likes you either.
He doesn't know me.
What was the movie that... was it... Maybe Beverly Hills Cop 2? When they went in and they gave him money to stuff because of the parking tickets or something, and he was like... That's my wife's car. And he like, picks up the phone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Slams it down.
Never seen it.
The only remotely funny thing I've ever seen him do.
Yeah.
That scene.
Yeah. I don't find him particularly funny.
I don't find
him funny
at all.
Annoying very much, though,
yes.
Actually, with the voice. Jim from Eastern Michigan University.
Go Hurons.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Congratulations on the temporary promotion to email reader, Eric. I have a game to play if you're interested. We're always interested in games on this show.
Especially during lockouts.
Who would you rather have? The game is called Who Would You Rather Have?
Fred. Oh, not between Fred and Eric? Sorry.
Well played there.
Brooklyn Decker.
Sam Acho.
Between Brooklyn Decker and anyone.
Sam Acho.
Sorry, Deidre.
Or Brooks Reed. And obviously it's Sam Acho.
Sam Acho. I know you don't love him either. I know I've heard
I
you.
I don't love him.
But I
would take Brooks Reed.
I like Acho more, not for the same thing. But I like Acho more as a player.
I'll take
you
my
would
Brooks
take Reed
like
because
Texas.
He's the straight line. Ahead, go get him pass rusher. And if you're making me either or, now if you say, do I want Brooks Reed in the first round? No, I do not.
Well, you're not going to get Sam Acho in the first round
No,
either.
So I'm assuming these are second, third round picks.
Bless you.
So I would take Brooks Reed. I'm intrigued by Brooks Reed's
he's a spiritual
one thing.
Man too.
One thing.
Do it well.
Even though he didn't put up
kinda
huge
does
numbers
it.
Doing
okay.
all that well. Bitch slapped that Iowa kid. A lot of talk of him, by the way. I saw Mel Kiper talking him up as a fast riser in this draft, early second, late first. And
who, Brooks?
Brooks Reed on the rise.
Brooks.
Derek will be happy for
Brooks,
that.
I'm not sure he can.
Mm. Second, who would you rather have? Oh, there are three of them.
Reed,
there.
Paul. His last name is Reed. Jesus Christ, welcome to the show.
I see what you did there.
Three of them we got to choose
Wait
from.
For it.
Tackles. Costanzo.
Haven't done my tackle work yet.
Nate Solder or Tyron Smith?
Smith a lot
is the
of
young guy from USC.
A lot
of upside for him. He's kind of like the Robert Quinn of tackles.
And he's kind of like the Paul Perillo of tackles. He used to be skinny, but he put on a lot of weight for the combine, and now he looks the part. He was like 280. Now he's up to like 310, 315.
It's amazing how many shots he works in one show.
Nate Solder, I'm a little lukewarm on the whole transition.
I'll take the USC. When in doubt, I'll take the USC guy, so I'll go
Tyron
Smith.
And who was the third one? Costanzo?
Costanzo, Solder, or Smith?
I still have work to do on the tackles, but
yeah.
I haven't watched any
I'm not sold on Solder.
I'm not making any promises that I'll do so.
I thought you were bringing them all home tonight and watching them while watching basketball.
I didn't say I was bringing them all home.
Now, you think Bill Belichick, when he's breaking down film, also is watching basketball at the same time?
I'm going to go with Solder.
I'm sorry. Am I making $8 million a year? If I am, then I'll make sure that's the only thing I'm
and
doing.
And if you am, I'm out of here and I'm going to talk to Fred.
So you're taking Smith. I'll take Solder. You're
I'm not Solder.
I know that.
I would say I'm starting with Smith, but I reserve the right to change my mind like Nolan Naraki on Robert Quinn.
Okay. Next one, Ryan Kerrigan or Alden Smith?
Alden Smith. Bigger upside.
I'm torn on this one
I'll
because
I'll take Alden Smith too. But I like Ryan Kerrigan. I like both of those guys.
Oh, he's grown on me immensely.
He is. He really is.
I'm going to go with Kerrigan.
Of course you.
I'll go with Kerrigan.
You like the hair, huh?
Just No.
Lust. Hair
no.
lust.
No.
My God. You are in need of help.
Yes, he is.
How you come up with hair lust?
Brooks Reed
He's
comes
got the
up
big
again.
Bushy hair that Maura Wilson, our designer, is madly
she
in
has
love
the,
with.
She has the hair lust.
Yeah. Oh, she wants more than the hair.
Wow. Listen, I can't, not appropriate.
She wants to get her hands on the little Kerrigan.
Oh, my God.
How do you know it's little?
Isn't that a thing with the Irish?
Shillelagh?
Small drunk, small penis drunks.
Whoa!
Fred, I promise we didn't talk about the CBA today.
All right.
Anything beyond that, I can't promise.
Brooks Reed or Martez Wilson?
Brooks Reed.
Yeah,
I would always go with the pass rusher.
I would
Martez
take Brooks
Wilson,
Reed.
Best inside linebacker in the draft.
Oh, we don't need any
may have some
right
position versatility, but as an inside linebacker.
I didn't know much about Martez Wilson, but yeah. I'll definitely agree with Andy.
Need the pass rusher.
I'm always going to pick the pass rusher. We could play this game forever, and I'll be taking the pass rusher.
Right. Well, this one is involves offensive linemen.
Keymakers comes up because he's not a pass rusher.
Exactly. I said I'll take the pass rusher.
The next one involves offensive linemen. Danny Watkins.
Glenn.
Or Mike Pouncey.
Danny Watkins.
I like Watkins, too.
I think Pouncey's riding the family name a wee bit.
Yes, a little bit too much.
I also think, I don't think the...
Watkins is riding the family name?
No. I don't think Marquise was anywhere near as good as he was given credit for. Pittsburgh.
I think in college he was phenomenal.
No, I'm talking about as
no,
like
I know,
Pittsburgh.
But that's not the comparison. The comparison right here is Pouncey to Pouncey.
Yeah, Pouncey for Pouncey. Who's the better Pouncey?
Marquise.
Okay, what do you got?
And Watkins. Okay. The
last
issue
one
would be age.
Last one from Jim in Eastern Michigan. Christian Ponder. Oh, this is a good one. Christian Ponder or Greg McElroy.
Ponder.
I will take Ponder.
Ponder.
Yeah, I'll definitely.
McElroy's ceiling is backup. Ponder's ceiling is decent starting quarterback. I think Christian Ponder looks a lot like Matt Castle. I think he's an identical Matt Castle.
There's a lot of similarities.
I think Matt Castle is a okay guy. You give him the right tools, and he can help you. He's athletic enough, strong
good game,
enough arm.
Though.
Yeah, very good game.
Good game.
Didn't disappoint.
I didn't even have to ponder that one for a minute.
Oh, didn't.
I was regulated. Where is he? He hasn't chimed back.
Brooklyn Matt? No,
he
nothing.
Just disappears.
Well, wait a minute.
I
do have new emails. So
when
I
start counting his screw-ups per show, he disappears. You know what Fred would call him?
No. He's not paying attention back there. He's
on Facebook
He's doing revolution work.
I'm sorry,
probably.
Aaron Andrews is on a commercial. I wasn't really paying attention.
What are you doing?
You don't want to know.
Beating off?
Oh, no, you're right.
No,
you're right. You're right. I don't want to know.
This is glass. You can see me.
Whoa. Like he would be doing it.
Yeah, I know, right?
If that were a wall.
Yeah.
Not Charles Haley.
Oh, my God.
Team meetings.
By the way, strippers did come through with the link for what Gilbert Gottfried said.
Did you click on it?
No, not yet.
He's been tweeting at you, Andy.
Oh. Tweeting at?
Uh-oh. Yeah, strippers really? Has been tweeting at Andy.
Oh, my big binder, but not my phone.
For a lot of the show.
My phone.
Several different links, which I've been looking at. Some funnier than others. That's why I've been kind of
so
perplexed back here.
It wasn't even just like a one-time thing. Like he had several jokes that he threw out there about this.
The story I read, I think, said jokes, plural.
Oh, it definitely said multiple, yeah.
And stripper sent me a TMZ link, which I'm quickly... Scroll through. Okay. Talks amongst yourselves momentarily. Well, this thing is freezing.
Just careful what you open there, Eric.
Is it porn?
No, but...
No.
Can we read these on the air, since you've already read them?
Shocking Japan tsunami jokes. Oh, that's not fun.
No, I'm not
really
going to read that one.
Japan is really advanced. They don't go to the beach. The beach comes to them. That's not funny.
No.
Gottfried said that?
Yeah, well, he tweeted it.
Oh, okay.
Why didn't he go with my account?
This was 6:30 in the morning, March 13th. That was Sunday morning.
Must have woke up early to get
that's
that one
like
off.
Not even remotely funny.
Yeah, it's not.
And then there was this one, Paul.
Oh my!
Oh, that's even worse.
That's way worse.
I just split up with my girlfriend, but like the Japanese say, there'll be another one floating by any minute now. Oh, again, if these were funny, I could understand what he was doing.
Yeah.
This is just insensitive crap.
Yeah. Maybe it was just those two, but those two are bad enough.
Your girl Megyn Kelly's not even the hottest on her show now, by the way.
Oh, I'm telling you, they just...
They
trot out one after another.
It's a
Juliet
factory.
Juliet Banderas or Julian Banderas or something?
She's been around there for
any
a while,
relation
too.
To Antonio?
Phenomenal.
Banderas.
She looks better in HD, too, this upgrade we've had down here in the cable system.
What was that?
Not him.
It's like he's lifting weights over there.
Larry the drunk, maybe, writes in. I'm having trouble understanding. His subject line is
Mayor?
Andy's kind of ...
A douchebag.
Fairlane Ford. He was funny in that movie. Andy would get a lot of stuff.
Who's Fairlane Ford?
Ford Fairlane.
Who's Ford Fairlane?
Andrew Dice Clay.
Hickory Dickory Dock.
He was funny in that movie, and he would get a lot of stuff.
So I should watch that movie?
I guess. I guess that's what he's a...
What's it called? Ford Fairlane?
Ford Fairlane. Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Funny?
Yeah, he was
doing
stuff at the sorority. I ate her pie.
Yeah.
The first one passed the sniff test, so to speak.
Oh.
Hey-o.
See? Oh, God. Split screen now. You lose, Megan.
I'm not ready to call that just yet. Hold on.
I get a thing for women with a nice tan.
With a nice tan.
Puss and all that.
We need
Fred
a new
chiming
one.
In from the meeting again.
That one's too loud. We need a new one.
Oh, boy.
I can make it softer.
That's what she said.
Oh. No, it's supposed to make it harder.
Yes, I know.
Puss and
all that. Sakes.
Ken Walter.
You have Eric involved.
You can't take him anywhere.
Ken Walter chimes in.
I was done with Pepsi, but I need another one after
You're never done with Pepsi.
I love Walter. Ken Walter needs a favor, he says. Guys.
Can you talk to Scott O'Brien?
Now that the lockout is in place, it's a lot harder for me to figure out where to sneak into. Oops, I mean participate in team activities. If any players are listening, can someone email me when and where you guys are getting together? We can do it at my house any day except Thursdays when I host a Pilates class. Thanks, Ken Walter.
Plus you'd have to
I love Walter!
Plywood over the window.
What you have to do is get to Gerard Mayo's basement to work out with the Bowflex.
Yes.
That's right.
Me and Ninko.
And Fred will be there, too, because he has
Kraft
a Bowflex.
Kraft and Mayo go together.
That voice made me jump.
Andy just jumped like 10 feet. You should have seen the look on his face. He looked back at me like, holy crap.
Sorry. I respect that voice. I respect that man.
Remember the day a few months ago, Andy, like during the season when he just walked in?
Yes.
With that other guy? I'm sitting here and I'm like,
you almost lost your lunch.
Yeah. Doing something stupid, probably rubbing my head, and I look behind me and I'm like, oh, good God.
All of a sudden, Andy's face turned white.
And the show went silent.
I don't think Fred ever saw him, though, because
he's got the little web radio.
Yeah, so Fred, we're all like, oh, my God, on eggshells, and Fred has no idea what's going on.
You know what really bothers me is that... Oh,
it really grinds my gears.
Grinds my gears.
I have one gear. Go.
It's called Paul Perillo.
You're on a drug, and it's called Paul.
It's called fat.
It's called winning.
Are you?
It's called gaining.
Yeah. Oh.
What's up, Paul Perillo?
Actually, it's been 12 years of losing.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
Oh, John Rook chiming in from his mother's basement.
A John Rook classic.
Yeah, there's no crossover with him today.
Today?
Today.
not on this very special edition.
Not on this very special off-season
lockout
edition. There's
no special edition of playbook. I didn't even get the name of the show.
No,
right.
We can't step inside the playbook for God knows when.
Hey, Robert Edwards.
Bobby?
With the Dolphins?
Yeah.
Back in the day?
The comeback.
Son.
What's he doing
now? Bill Belichick to you at home, son.
Oh, that's right.
Is he selling like used cars or something?
I have no idea. He may be doing very well. Or he may not be doing very well. I have not heard anything,
not heard
of
anything
Robert
about
Edwards.
Him in a long
may be
time.
He doing very well. Or he
you
may
do,
not
you
be
should
doing
do a feature.
Well, for all I know, he's. Or he could just be having an everyday so-called
he'd be,
you know,
he'd
average
be doing
life.
Just fine.
He's having a Josh Hamilton crack moment in a trailer, or he's an investment broker who's making millions.
Ask and you shall receive, Andy. Brooklyn Matt responding.
Bring it.
To your repost, he says, okay, Andy, you got me.
I got to get regulated.
It's relegated and not regulated. Let's take a look at the scoreboard. Andy Gaffs, approximately 25. Brooklyn Matt Gaffs, 2 maybe?
I think you went a little low on mine.
And I do indeed tally freaking hose, he says. Oh, and I'd rather have my 9-year ex than Brooklyn Decker. Sorry to
You're
hear you.
You're out of your freaking mind. You are out of it. There's no chance.
Did you just say his 9-year ex?
He says, oh, and I'd rather have my 9-year ex than Brooklyn Decker.
Talk about a waste of time.
Sorry
life.
To hear you don't years, feel the same about your chick, Deidre.
Well, I call her my wife, not my chick.
Yeah.
But
and the mother of my children,
and I think the mother of my
now,
children.
Now he's making it personal, saying your wife's name on the air.
Well, I said it a little
while
ago.
Yeah, he's said it before.
I believe said, "I'll take Brooklyn Decker."
Sorry Deidre.
Yeah. You know, I normally don't chime in on this whole Andy Matt thing because
the feud that they have.
I like when Andy just goes off on one of his, you know, half baked little rants. I enjoy it when I'm not the only one doing that.
His harangues.
But I mean, we honestly, Brooklyn Matt, are we honestly going to count gaffes? You are sitting at your computer you know, being able to formulate any thought you want with as much time as you need to articulate it in any way that you feel necessary, and you email it in, and you're counting your gaffes as opposed to this
2 hours
idiot over
all
here
the time.
Who does nothing but yap for 2 hours.
And think of how fast I talk, how fast those words have to get from my brain to my mouth.
Because you have to think before you speak.
Right.
Well, I don't.
And then it's so big up there in that fat head of yours.
Right.
He's got all the answers up there, though.
Up in his big fat head.
Exactly. I didn't cheat.
I was trying to get you.
I didn't cheat like the rest of you.
He hasn't trimmed his.
Oh, Eric didn't cheat.
No, I didn't cheat.
And if he cheated, maybe he would have gone to Brown.
No.
Wouldn't have ended up at BU like you.
Hey, some of us was a safety school.
I'm
what are you going to do?
Happy.
Well, believe it or not, fellas, that's going to do it.
Another hour.
Very
See, Fred's
special.
Not here, so we can really do another hour. Nah. Let's just do it.
We technically could.
We can't. We have videos to go watch.
To Paul can't even watch
it. We have prospect video to watch. Well, those of us who went to the combine have prospect video to watch. So
I got to go answer Ask PFWs.
But next time we see you, it'll
this
be St. Patrick's Day.
Longest Ask PFW ever.
It took me forever to delete a lot of them.
Hey, that's how he treads lightly. So anyway, Thursday will be St. Patrick's Day. We
Maybe
hope to hear
I'll
from Cormac and some of our other friends from Ireland who
or
are
Nolan
Naraki going to be celebrating.
And I'll be in my Shaq jersey if Fred says
to
wear
it. If he says it's okay. So, Kevin, that is your cue to play the music. That's what we've been saying.
He doesn't know how to use that big
board. Not playing any music today. We're going straight
into somber edition.
It's going to be Raw Dog.
We go into a little PFW pump right here.
Okay, well, let's
What is PFW pump?
Let's pump PFW.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to PFWOnline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast, and it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What? If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.